back, please. Please move out of the way.
Those scenes recorded at the Thistle Hotel in Barbican in London, close to Islington, but they have been seen elsewhere. In a related story, police now accused of a cover-up over the identity of two believed Afghan asylum seekers arrested on sexual charges. Did the police not learn the lessons? In other news, get into gear to cash in on Car Compo Day.
It's clear that some firms have broken the law or our rules, and it's fair that consumers are compensated when that has happened, and that's why we're going to propose a compensation scheme.
Nikhil Ratti runs the Financial Conduct Authority, plus...
A man in his 40s has died after falling at Saturday's Oasis concert in London. I'm LBC's Helen Hodnot at Wembley Stadium with the latest.
Plus a storm bringing 100-mile-an-hour winds blowing in. Full details after the news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, millions of drivers could receive hundreds of pounds each as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. The Financial Conduct Authority is to consult on a claims system after last week's Supreme Court ruling on mis-selling. It could cost the industry up to £18 billion. Consumer expert Martin Lewis says it'll apply to about 40% of finance deals.
The biggest category will be people who had a discretionary commission arrangement deal between 2007 and 2021 when you got your PCP or HP car finance. The problem is you don't know, because one of the reasons you'll get money back is it was hidden. So you have to send in a letter to your car finance firm to ask, did you have a discretionary commission arrangement?
Gusts of up to 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of the UK. A yellow warning for wind is now in force, with a more severe Met Office amber alert due to take effect in Scotland from 10 o'clock. Several rail routes will close from midday. Danny Chalmers from Transport Scotland says people should stay indoors if possible.
It may be that you can delay your journey or avoid the worst of the conditions. You may be able to work from home, for example, if that is something you can agree with your employer. But it's probably not worth going out in an amber because it could be quite dangerous in certain parts of the country.
Another £100 million is to go towards tackling small boat crossings of the English Channel. The Home Office says it'll support the pilot of the one-in, one-out returns agreement between the UK and France. But the Tories say the announcement is a desperate grab for headlines. A fifth person has been charged by counter-terror police after aircraft were damaged at RAF Brize Norton. 22-year-old Mohammed Umar Khalid is due in court, accused of conspiracy to commit criminal damage. The incident in June was claimed by the now proscribed Palestine Action. England's cricketers need 35 more runs to secure a series victory over India. Poor light and rain brought an early end to day four of the fifth test at the Oval yesterday. The hosts are 339 for six in pursuit of 374 with centuries from Harry Brook and Joe Root. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen at 90.68 after closing down 64 on Friday. The pound buys $1.32 and a euro 14. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier with some sunny spells later. A high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Bill?
Yes?
Can you throw my green dress in the bin?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's not that bad, love. Your sister said you looked like a courgette. I'm sure she meant it in a cute way.
Bill?
Well, you could at least donate it. There must be someone who could get use out of it. Maybe turn it into a pair of curtains.
I said put it in the laundry bin, Bill.
Oh, right.
Not hearing the whole conversation? Book a free hearing check with one of our experts at Specsavers.
I've always loved courgettes.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after seven, Monday, August the 4th. Anger grows on two fronts. The alleged police cover-up over the identity of two Afghans involved in reported sexual crimes. It is going before the court in the area of Nuneaton and, of course, yet more hotels. Or in some places, areas of HMO, housing and multiple occupancy being turned over. But don't worry, we'll hear later from a government minister, another £100 million of our money will be spent to help combat this. Exactly how? I think you'll be horrified when they hear their plans. It's later in the hour. In other news, as I mentioned, there's a storm blowing in. Joe Wheelier is a meteorologist.
Those winds, really very nasty, capable of uprooting trees, taking down power lines, and obviously causing a lot of disruption to general life. It's also all going to happen during the hours of daylight.
Tragedy at an Oasis gig. A fan believed to be in his 40s dies after a horrendous fall. We'll have a report on that. The teacher who lost his job simply for making some comments about that woman who put out ill-advised and ugly sentiments following the so-called Southport riots. So does Britain have a free speech problem? Well, one person thinks yes. Here's US Vice President J.D. Vance earlier in the year.
We also know that there have been infringements on free speech that actually affect not just the British. Of course, what the British do in their own country is up to them.
Fancy picking up the thick end of £1,000? Stay tuned. It could be you're in line for £950 of car compo in that mis-selling scandal. We'll give you the details of how to claim. And just how safe are we on social media? Policing Minister Dame Diana Johnson said over the weekend government plans to crack down on the social media activity of people smugglers.
I think it's 22,000 of these adverts have been taken down over the last year or so. So there is good work going on, but we also want to actually go after the individuals.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Two aspects of this growing crisis concerning illegal arrivals, asylum seekers, migrants, whatever you want to say, into this country and the growing numbers and, of course, the £6 million a day cost. Two aspects, the violence that has flared at some hotels, most recently in the Barbican, which is in sort of North London, that part of the city. And, of course, we have issues out, as we know, in Essex, we have issues in Norfolk, we have issues in Warwickshire and elsewhere. But there's also the danger now. You know, what's a politician's, what's their most favourite, what's one of their most favourite expressions? We need a grown-up conversation, which you just want to laugh at. A grown-up, or lessons must be learned. Well, here's one place where lessons haven't been learned, and there is growing fury with, in the views of conservative, senior conservative politicians and the local authority, is putting Britain on the risk of another grooming gang scandal or on the risk of riots akin to last summer's, if police refuse to share the ethnicity or immigration status of dangerous suspects. More on that in a moment. That focuses on Warwickshire police's inability to tell the truth. It's as plain as that, according to the leader of Warwickshire County Council. And a cover-up over two people charged with serious sexual crimes, both of whom are believed to be Afghan asylum seekers. But we're not meant to know that, say the police. Why? Why don't we have the right to know that? But let's start with the protests, which is more of a national story or a national problem with demonstrations, as I mentioned, in London, in Manchester, in Newcastle, and, of course, some areas outside of those main cities. Clashes reported between protesters and a counter-protest group led by Stand Up to Racism at the Thistle City Barbican Hotel in London. Here's some footage. Now, we've already told you that a leading Conservative MP, and he's not on his own, many Conservatives, Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp, has said that Warwickshire police have covered up the background of two asylum seekers. This is Ahmad Mulakhil and Mohammed Kabir, both 23, accused, I stress accused, they have a trial here, of involvement in the attack on July 22nd. Mulakhil has been charged with rape, Kabir has been charged with kidnap, strangulation, aiding and abetting an assault. A hearing takes place later this month. But there is concern that the force, Warwickshire force, allegedly told local politicians and officials not to reveal the background, fear of inflaming community tension. Separately, there's a warning this morning from His Majesty's Chief Inspector of Constabulary, Sir Andy Cook, about the potential of a repeat of last summer's riots. He told me not that long ago in May, and he said how police forces need to be more upfront about the information they disclose.
The police, not just the police, but the police were equipped to deal with some of the risks from online content. We saw those issues very clearly by the information void that appeared very quickly, that was filled by people mainly on social media, influencers and others. The police need to get better at filling that information void.
Let's bring into the conversation Donna Jones, who's National Criminal Justice Lead for the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners and is herself Police and Crime Commissioner for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. What rights do the public have as to the identity, the background of people who are charged with serious crimes? Good morning, Commissioner.
Morning, Nick. Well, this is a huge, huge problem. Not only do we have, it's estimated, 13,000 foreign nationals in Britain's prisons, but there is then now this perception that's growing from the public, as you've just heard from Andy Cook. It's the perception that often then creates problem, rioting, disorder. And there is a perception that there is a cover-up of the identity of these offenders, particularly if they are asylum seekers coming into the UK committing serious violence and or sexual offences. And unfortunately, from what we can see, it appears to be happening all the time up and down the country.
In your view, how important is it that local people are given as much information as possible?
Well, no, I think it's absolutely imperative. People do need have a right to know. And, you know, when a, let's say, for example, a white middle-aged man commits an offence and goes before the courts, there is no attempt to protect that person's identity unless, for example, it would be exposing the identity of a child victim or something that would be related. So I do think it's important that the police, the courts, and often it is the courts as well. But let's not forget that our courts are all public places. And if journalists are in court every day, the information is clearly there. But I do get that perception. My biggest concern when it comes to the police is around the enormous amount of police resourcing that is being taken up at the moment because of the protests that we are having every single day across the country outside asylum hotels. The Met Police could be solving so much more crime and preventing so much more crime if they did not have hundreds upon hundreds of officers on duty, public order trained officers and others, neighbourhood, community officers, local beat bobbies, who are having to be drafted in, particularly on overtime, to police these protests.
But what choice do the police forces or police services have, Commissioner?
No, they have no choice at all. And this goes in my own, I'm not blaming the police at all. This for me is a frustration about the government, successive governments. You know, in my own police force area in Hampshire, we've had three protests in the last week. One of them had about 300 to 400 people. We had multiple police officers there. This is at a time when our demand, we normally get 500 calls a day coming into our control room. They're currently coming in at 800 to 850. So we are already for policing across the UK at our heightened demand at the moment because the weather is good and it's the summer period. We've all had to, every police and crime commissioner had to work with their chief constable and send into the Home Secretary our summer resourcing policing programme about 7 weeks ago, ahead of the summer period. But actually what wasn't factored in from her was the demand that was going to be taken up by policing on these protests. So I think the government needs to be doing a lot more to be ebbing the flow. 25,000 people coming into this country illegally just since January. It's just not sustainable.
Lastly, had what reportedly took place in Nuneaton actually happened in Nether Wallop, would you have supported Hampshire Police not giving the details of the reported suspects?
No, I wouldn't, because we don't do that, and we do provide the information. If it, you know, and particularly what we have to remember here is when someone is arrested and taken to court, the information that comes through court is then owned by HMCTS, His Majesty's Courts and Tribunal Service. So the police so often get the blame for not sharing information when it's not necessarily them as the agency to share it. It is, you know, that is a court hearing, and it is available through the public court records if people go into the court and ask for it.
Donna Jones, I will leave it there. Thank you, Commissioner. You're National Criminal Justice Lead for the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners, and you hold that post for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Thank you for your time. 13 after 7. Let's get to Narinder Kaur, who's a broadcaster and social commentator. And I understand you attended one of the demonstrations at the Thistle City on Saturday. Why did you go there? What did you learn? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on, Nick. I went there with Stand Up Against Racism, and I've gone to a few of their counter-protests. And the reason we turn up is because, like good British people, we want to show Britain and people in these asylum seeker hotels that actually you are welcome, you are safe, and you will not be scapegoated.
Right. Do local people have the right to know the identity of people in these hotels, the ethnicity of people in these hotels?
Well, like Donna said before, if it was a middle-aged white man who'd caused or committed a horrific sex attack, would you have demonstrations, for example, outside LBC if that was, we're going to target all white men now? No, you wouldn't have that. So what we had last year with the race riots was terrorism, racial terrorism, up and down the country where you're targeting. But if you've got real concern, I'm a mother to a teenage daughter. If I was really concerned, I wouldn't just be targeting asylum seeker hotels. You don't tarnish an entire community on the actions of one or two. We've got a huge problem in this country when you go to
targeting
asylum seeker hotels.
These are alleged actions of a couple. But if we come back to those awful riots of last year, would you accept they were fueled by a lack of information, a belief that the person involved was an asylum seeker who'd come over on a dinghy? Would you accept that?
No, I wouldn't accept that. What I would accept is that there's been a massive amount of misinformation.
What fueled those riots then, Narinder?
Scapegoating, asylum seekers.
Narinder, do you recall?
Misinformation given that is very dangerous.
Yes, precisely. Let's not give out misinformation then. But we would know that the person behind those horrific attacks on those girls at the dance class was British-born. Nothing to do. So if we had information like that, you will prevent riots.
No, you got the riots at that because you were given misinformation that he was a Muslim, illegal immigrant.
If we'd had the truth, it wouldn't have happened.
No, because actually you give the truth now and you're still having these demonstrations up and down the country. And actually it's not locals. A lot of these protests have British First, EDL, neo-Nazi.
Yes, I agree.
And not local groups. This is found to be true. These are not local people. I walked from that protest back to the tube and actually I walked
past Narinder, even the Home Secretary agrees now that the information that should have been given as regards the Southport killer, because I'm not going to use his name, should have been given. The Chief Constable of Merseyside agrees it should have been given. The Commissioner, who's the lead for police commissioners, why are they all wrong?
Okay, Nick, so when we have the Liverpool...
But why are they all wrong, Narinder?
No, because even if they did give the information, you would still have rights.
So we will end it there. That's going before the courts. We're going to have to end there, Narinder. Thank you, Narinder Kaur. You're a broadcaster and social commentator. I'm sorry, but you cannot get into live cases. I'm grateful for your time. Let's get to the headlines. After we tell you that there is a storm blowing in, it could be winds of up to about 100 miles an hour. It's called Storm Floris.
Be a wraparound of severe gale force winds affecting many parts of the country. And that means to say we're going to have disturbing winds and causing lots of damage.
That's, of course, veteran news or even weather forecaster John Ketley. More on that after this. 7:16 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
About 4 in 10 people who had car finance between 2007 and 2021 could receive hundreds of pounds in compensation. Heavy rain and strong winds from Storm Floris are expected to cause severe travel disruption. Ministers have announced £100 million to help pay for the one-in-one-out migrant return deal with France. LBC weather, those stormy conditions blowing in, turning drier with sunny spells later, a high of 24 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 clockwise onto the QE2 bridge. It's because a car's broken down, so one lane stays closed for recovery. In Whiteleaf, Westhall Road remains closed both ways, and that's all down to an accident. Better news, though, in the city, Cornhill has reopened in both directions. It was closed for a while after an accident, but it's all open now. Very busy on the M4 eastbound onto the elevated section, and on the trains, London Northwestern are still having to run a reduced service between Bedford and Bletchley, and that's because of a shortage of trains. And on the underground, on the Central Line, Chancery Lane station is closed, and that's because of a shortage of staff.
This is LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
Train to Bedford with the crew for a music festival. Scenes!
Georgie, is this too much guitar?
Yep, lost them. God, I offered to get drinks on my own. It's okay, find the flag with the DJ and cat. Oh, there they are. Back on the train, glitter gone, feet destroyed. Totally worth it. Oh, I can't wait to post this selfie of us.
Download the Thameslink Railway app to book tickets and save one third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story. Terms apply. See our website for full details.
Chase is the digital bank that puts you first.
What does that mean?
Well, most people don't bank 9 to 5. That's why Chase customer support is available 24/7.
So I can contact them whenever works best for me.
You got it. Mm. You can chat to a real person through the app.
That's handy.
And you can always call up to speak with them directly.
Hello. Now we're talking.
Join the UK's number one bank for customer satisfaction. Chase. See what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents. Eligibility applies. Claim based on YouGov UK Banks and Building Societies rankings 2024. Verify at chase.co.uk/YouGov.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, I know it's an expression that amuses some, but this is a typical Sunday for Monday to have to have been an editor. Pick a front page and it's a different story. It's extraordinary. So no one's... I'll just do a couple, otherwise I'll be here for most of the morning. We need to get your voices on the radio. That's what we're going to come to in just a minute. Front page of the Daily Express is the story we're looking at. Well, an aspect of the story we're looking at. An extra £100 million will not stop the boats. We're hearing from the minister later in this hour as to exactly what that might fund. Front page of the Daily Telegraph, Palestine action, the plot to swamp police. This is a story we're going to look at certainly later in the week, probably not later today. This is an idea that next Saturday, much of London will be hit by demos, Palestine Action and other pro-Palestinian supporting groups, but not just London, many cities up and down the country. That's the main theme behind it. I told you there's no two stories. Those two stories are the same. The Daily Mail tells us the troubling news that asbestos kills more troops than the Taliban. This is 9 times more military veterans over the years. And I'm going to finish with the Metro, which is absolutely horrific story for a grandmother. It's Medway, what a surprise. Who's now, they've put rat traps under her bed in hospital because there's a rat and there's rat droppings at the Medway Maritime Hospital, which is in Gillingham in Kent. I live just up the road from, just out of Kent. So I know that locally the Medway Maritime does not have the greatest reputation. This poor woman, as a lot of people are, by the way, is frightened of mice and rats. And now she's had a rat feeding under her bed and the hospital put in a rat trap, or a rat trap has been, I don't know whether the hospital's gone in with it or her relatives, but there she is photographed at this hospital with a rat trap on her bed. The hospital are saying that they're taking extra measures, they're speaking to pest controllers, they want to have the highest standards, but that's a picture that shames that hospital, isn't it? Quickly to the LBC app. Well, now it seems this is going to be a bit of a divided Britain. A two-tier nation, in a way. I think it's going to be the north, it's going to be Scotland that really gets hit with Storm Floris, and we'll bring you a full report in just a few minutes' time. I think in the soft south we might get away with it a little bit. And on to the website, let's pick up one at random. Here we go, the Sun Online. Just two words, gig horror, and we will have a report on that. This is a man believed to be in his 40s, plunged to his death at an Oasis gig in Wembley. We'll have a report on that in just a moment. Right, let's talk about these problems. Two aspects to it. Lessons must be learnt, but they clearly haven't, because we're not allowed to know the identity, which is the police commissioner with whom we spoke said is wrong. And, of course, the people just keep on coming. Malcolm's in Wigan. Malcolm, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
What I'm going to tell you is that prevention is better than cure.
Right.
Now, recently we've seen a super powerful French police officer popping off on national TV in Britain. Yeah. And guess what he did?
Once.
He went up to an inflatable boat.
Yeah, and slashed it with a knife.
Yeah, well, that's the solution.
Yeah, okay. How many times has that happened?
The point is that the politicians...
How many times has that happened since? Zero.
Just hold on. Let me get my point across. The key point to recognise is that the politicians are using all kinds of destructive mechanisms to alter the fact that there is a relatively simple solution, and that is for the French to control the sovereignty of their own territory. Never mind the fact that it's a violation of our sovereignty, i.e. by allowing foreign
How are they to do that? How are they to control sovereignty?
They control sovereignty by not allowing illegal inflatables to come out from their shores.
Currently, they are prohibited from slashing those boats if the water is above waist high for fear of drowning. They're not going to do it. I agree with you, Malcolm. They're not going to do it. They found a perfect...
How do you know what they're going to do? It's up to them. But
because I've just told you the laws won't let them.
Let me finish.
No, I won't let you finish. The laws won't let them. And if a gendarme or a French border force does slash a boat open in water above waist high and someone drowns, he or she will go to jail. That's why they won't do it, Malcolm.
No, I'll explain to you the legal basis for doing it, which is that they are preventing the possibility of those people in those inflatable boats from drowning.
Are you not listening? I've just told you there are regulations that prohibit French border guards, French gendarmes, for slashing the boats if the water is above waist high. They are not allowed to do
that. All they do then is they simply drag them in. Come on, use your brain. You've got one, haven't you?
They won't do it.
What, how do you know they won't done it? We've already seen a French
cop. They've done it once. It's easier for them just to watch them set sail for England. Of course it is. They don't want the people there.
The point is that the point is that many people have accused the French of attempting to punish the Britons because we voted for British independence.
I'm not suggesting I don't British independence. I'm not suggesting it's punishment. It's just a lack of will. Bear in mind, we have sent 800 million pounds since 2018 for them to do some actions, and they've got no interest in doing it, Malcolm. Seriously, and they've got laws that prohibit them unless it's knee deep. Or ankle-deep water. Thank you for your view. We'll take more on that in a moment. 7:25. Well, it's a divided Britain, it appears. A storm Floris blows in, expected to bring travel disruption. Winds up to 70, 80 miles an hour, if not more. Here with details, John Hammond, who's a meteorologist and chief forecaster at weathertrending.com. What have we got on the way, John, and where? Good morning.
Yeah, hi there, Nick. Well, we're fairly confident about the track and intensity of the winds. It's been well modelled for several days. What we're less confident about is the impacts, because it's an unusual storm for the summer. This sort of storm normally happens January, February, not the beginning of August. At the moment, it's not too windy out there, but it's absolutely chucking it down with rain across many northern and western areas. The rain will not be the main problem. It will be the wind later on. We're gusting over 50 miles an hour now across western fringes of mainland Britain, but those winds will ramp up from late morning through to sort of mid-evening. That's when the focus of the most damaging and disruptive winds will be. Widely across northern England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, North Wales, 50-mile-an-hour gusts are certainly likely. But locally, as you mentioned, the focus of the most disruptive winds will be across central and northern Scotland. That includes the central belt, Glasgow and Edinburgh and other conurbations. Now, gusts here of 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, Nick, in summertime will have a disproportionately high impact. Obviously, a lot of people out and about, people camping. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, absolutely. People
things
were camping.
Will become airborne very, very quickly with those sorts of gusts, Nick. So it'd be very interesting to see the level of impacts we're going to see. The Met Office quite wisely have issued an amber warning, and quite wisely, Nick, there have been many cancellations of outdoor events, including the Edinburgh Tattoo later on today. All the while, as you mentioned a few moments ago, the soft south just having a splash of rain and some fairly blustery winds, and that'll be it. And England will be able to finish the job at the Oval, hopefully.
Oh, this is... why did you go there? my blood pressure. I'm having to double up on tablets. When does it blow itself out lastly, John?
Late this evening, and it's kind of back to normal by tomorrow morning, Nick.
John Hammond is meteorologist and chief forecaster at weathertrending.com. Thank you for that. Good luck if you're in the north. Do take care, particularly if you are, as John rightly said, if you are trying to camp, it is summer holiday time, you could be out there. It's going to be a bit blowy. Hope you get through it. Tony's in Wapping. Tony, thank you for hanging on the line. 7:28, your view of the story we're talking about. Good morning.
Nick, I just want to know a simple question, what no one ever answers. Why are all these people that are coming over on the boats all between 23 and 30?
Well, if you're coming... the vast majority, yes. I'm sure there are some children, but yeah, go on.
But if you're coming from a war-torn country, you'll be coming over with your family and bringing your family over as well with you,
yes.
Not just coming over on your own. And secondly, Nick, you know, why do they come here? Why don't they stop at the first safe country?
Well, there are many answers to that. Emmanuel Macron would say that Britain doesn't try and stop what's called the pull factor. That would be stopped by if we had ID cards. It's very easy to lose yourself in, if I'm allowed to call it, the black market of employment here. And also, there's something that no one can do anything about, which is English. And we speak it, and so do they.
Well, I just find it, you know, you get in class being called racist because you're worried about your kids.
Racist. You're not racist to be worried about your children. I'm not calling you racist to be worried about
your
children.
No, Nick, but the far left, everything's classed as racist. You can't have an opinion or a view. You can't be patriotic. You can't love your country. You're either classed as a racist. You know what I mean?
Well, I do, but I wouldn't worry about that. I've said a lot last week, and I wrote in my newspaper column in the Sunday Express, it is not racist to worry about the safety of your children or your grandchildren. And the men and women, many of whom wore pink at demonstrations on the weekend, they're not racist at all. They just have concerns about people coming into their community, mostly unchecked males, undocumented. The people who arrive in balaclavas, carrying in some instances rather provocative banners, now, they, I have different views. If you're holding a protest, why do you have to cover your face? Tony, thank you for your views. Coming up after the news,
millions of motorists could be in line for a payout following the announcement from the regulator that it is considering a compensation scheme over the car finance scandal. I'm Dean Dunham, and I'll be joining Nick Ferrari later in the programme.
Yeah, if you think you've bought a car, as indeed I think I'm in it, I need to find out what I need to do, because there's probably a way where you don't have to sign up to one of those the legal firms or lawyer, and he, she, they make off with 20% of a no-win, no-fee sort of deal. We'll tell you more. 7.30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. The news is read by Thomas Watts.
Lenders could face a bill of £18 billion as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. The Financial Conduct Authority is to consult on a claims system after last week's Supreme Court ruling on mis-selling. Weather warnings are coming into force, with Storm Floris expected to cause severe travel disruption. Much of Scotland is expected to be hit with heavy rain and winds of up to 85 miles per hour. Ministers have announced £100 million in extra funding to support a migrants' return deal with France. It'll help pay for the pilot of the One In, One Out scheme, but the Tories say that is a desperate grab for headlines. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier with sunny spells from the west later. A high of 24 degrees.
This is LBC.
The first bounce, the first serve, the moment it finally goes over the net. Now you're roaring like a champion. Suddenly your local park feels like centre court. You aren't just playing, you're growing more confident with every session. At Barclays, we know the small moments can build lifelong confidence. That's why we've partnered with the LTA to bring tennis to 150,000 new players across the country. There's even a Barclays Free Park tennis session at West Green Park. Search Barclays Free Park Tennis to sign up.
The best bit of sailing from Dover to Calais has to be the Irish Ferries bit. Irish Ferries. See travel differently.
Thanks to a blend of petrol and electric, fill up less this summer with the self-charging Mazda 2 Hybrid Centreline. It's available to finance for £199 per month with 0% APR representative. To go further for less this summer, search Mazda 2 Hybrid. Mazda Financial Services, PCP over 48 months, deposit of 5395, optional final payment of 9833. Indemnities may be required. Terms apply. See website.
Calling all little explorers. The hunt for squishmallows is on. Who will your little one find in their Happy Meal? Would they chill out with Cam on the beach? Or rock on with Hallie? Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 25th of August, from 11 a.m, squishmallows comprise toys only. Subject to availability. Fair ordering policy applies.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Just coming up on 7.33, back to our conversation. There's a sort of twin prong on this, isn't the lessons that have not been learnt and the protests that are going across the country over these people in asylum-seeking hotels or HMOs, housing of multiple occupancy. But into the world of finance and business, Christian May joins us. He's editor-in-chief at City AM. So a lot of the people he and his colleagues deal with on a daily basis are going to be concerned about taxes and how they might bite. What's the latest headline on that? Christian, good morning.
Good morning to you. We have been looking at business confidence very closely. And last week, the Institute of Directors, a very respected trade body, revealed that business confidence among its members, who are all directors of companies across the country, confidence has collapsed to a record low and even lower than it was during the pandemic, which is quite a striking state of affairs. This is the cumulative impact of low growth, of taxes on business, on impending new employment law and regulation, and of course the general condition of our economy, which is not inspiring confidence among business leaders. That's the context in which other business groups, including the CBI and the Chambers of Commerce and the Federation of Small Businesses, all told the Daily Mail over the weekend that they are absolutely counting on the Bank of England cutting interest rates when they make that decision later this week. There is a city expectation that the rate will be reduced from 4.25% to 4%. Whilst inflation will remain well above target, it is expected to have come down a little bit. The Bank of England will be weighing up the state of the job market and those inflationary pressures. Most economists expect that cut to take place. There was some doubt over it, but I think that's probably where the consensus is. And business groups are saying that everything else is not going our way. The least we need is for the cost of borrowing to come down. So that decision for the Bank of England will be made later this week, where they will also announce their own assessment on the state of the economy as well. So quite a lot of data and detail that comes alongside those interest rate decisions.
A union of companies and tycoons, Toyota and David Knieper, the fashion chain, Lord Spencer, JCB Chief Executive Lord Bamford and others, all writing to the Chancellor about what, Christian?
Well, this is perhaps a reasonably rare case of businesses writing to the Chancellor, not with a specific demand for their own benefit or their own business or their own sector, but raising the alarm, really, over the number of so-called NEETs, those not in education, employment or training, people between 16 and 24. There are just under a million such people in this country. And business chiefs in this new campaign, coordinated by the Jobs Foundation charity, and I'm sure they don't really need to remind the Chancellor of this, but they are doing so, that this has just the most catastrophic effects on the life chances of these young people, and it comes with a multi-billion pound price tag in the form of welfare. So these business groups, coordinated by the Jobs Foundation charity, are saying that the Chancellor has to look at ways in which employers can be incentivised and supported to take specifically these young people not in education or training into their businesses, train them, develop them, give them a chance. That might include some sort of tax incentives or support around training and skills development. But this really is something that business leaders are sounding a very loud alarm over, because people who find themselves in this situation at the very start of their earning age can find it very hard to break out of it. So the cumulative financial impact, say nothing of the wasted lives and potential, is staggering. And it's encouraging to see so many business leaders via the Jobs Foundation getting in touch with the Chancellor in this way and saying, look, we want to work with you, we want to help you, let's figure something out here.
Finally, someone who I've known professionally for decades, who's in the building trade, always said you can tell the state of an economy by cranes, how many numbers of cranes you can see in cities such as London and other major cities in the country. But I guess another indicator is concrete. What's happening with that, Christian?
Yeah, that's right. I love these kind of what you might call on-the-ground economic indicators. We get so many business surveys and points of data, and sometimes you just got to look at the raw numbers. Demand for concrete has fallen to its lowest level since 1963. The Building Trade Association, the Mineral Products Association, which represents the producers of these materials, has also said that the sales of other building materials, such as mortar and sand, has fallen with demand at a historically low level. So never mind the cranes, it's the concrete that's not even making it onto construction sites at the moment. And why does that matter? Well, it feeds into the almighty challenge that the government have set itself of building 1.5 million new homes by the end of this parliament. I just don't think they're going to make it, and I'm sure they know they're not going to make it. If you look at the number of new housing starts, the data is pretty stark. There's no way they're going to build more this year than were built last year. This is a problem in many parts of the country. In London, it's particularly difficult, and other areas of high urban density when builders need to build up. And the regulations, all the good things the government says they're going to do about planning reform, sometimes they're just going to come unstuck, because in London, for example, the regulations around height and the need for additional staircases have made an awful lot of projects and developments unviable. There are a staggeringly low number of new housing starts and registrations in the capital, and I'm afraid the data suggests that's a similar story across the country, and it's no surprise, therefore, to discover that the concrete market, the sand market, the mortar market, I'm sure plenty of builders listening to this will appreciate this. It's just not in a particularly good shape.
Christian Mayer's editor-in-chief at City AM. Thanks for that, Christian. 7:38 is the time. Let's pick up on some social media, then Kay coming to you as the next caller on the problems that we saw over the weekend. Steve in Reading, it's not difficult. The government need to listen to the public concerns, but they think everyone is stupid and on the far right. Similar negative view from Vivian. The government are useless and they seem to be lying. They lied to get into power. They carry on lying. They don't care what British people want. Helen says, you are racist, Nick. If you were white, you wouldn't be bothered. Listen, that's absurd. If two Australian, white Australian males were reportedly, allegedly involved in the strangulation, mock strangulation and rape of a 12-year-old girl in one of the home counties or anywhere else, of course I'd be interested. It's nothing to do. It's the safety or potential safety of children that's driving this. Come on, Helen. Kay's in Edgware. Kay, your view. Morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Yes, Kay.
Right, so in certain situations, the police may choose not to reveal the identity of an offender if after the arrest or charge in particular, there's a public interest in protecting the offender's identity, or it could jeopardise the investigation. This decision is typically made on a case-by-case basis. So I want to put this to you. What about the countless amount of police officers whose identities haven't been revealed when they've allegedly perpetrated a crime? Why aren't people uproaring about stuff like that?
Sorry, I don't know. What crimes are you talking about?
Right, so there's one case in particular that I remember on the 5th of September 2022. I'm not going to refer back to the specifics of the case, but there was a police officer involved in a shooting, and they did not reveal his identity for fear of civil unrest. So why was there no uproar about that, or why did people not get so upset when that wasn't when his identity wasn't revealed, but everybody suddenly has got this new...
Was that police officer subsequently found guilty of manslaughter or murder?
Well, that's not the point.
Well, no, it's totally the point, because if it was deemed to be a proportionate police action, then no crime has been committed.
But then my point is, his identity still wasn't revealed, and nobody had any... nobody was in uproar about that, or the same people
Well, obviously, I mean, I don't know the circumstances, but I'm now going to assume that the police officer possibly shot someone who's involved in gang crime, I would imagine. I don't know. And then that person would obviously have contact. So probably it was for the safety of the police officer's family, I would argue.
Okay. So I'm glad you said that. But then,
well, I'm glad made you glad. And I'm glad because you can have a happy day. 7:41, time to move on. And tragedy at an Oasis gig on the weekend. LBC's reporter is at the scene of the concert, Wembley Stadium. Helen Hoddenott joins me now. Morning, Helen.
Morning, Nick. Yes, on Saturday night, Wembley Stadium was sold out, packed with 90,000 Oasis fans. Videos from the stands show crowds in high spirits, dancing and singing along. But at around 10:20 p.m., which would have been at the very end of the concert, just after the band had played their closer, Champagne Supernova, a man fell to his death from the stands. Eyewitnesses have described seeing a figure fall from one of the very top levels, which are about 50 meters up in the air. One said it was horrendous. They saw him fall from a balcony and described paramedics rushing over, saying there was a lot of screaming and shouting. Another said they initially thought it was a coat falling from the stadium's upper tier and described the incident as heartbreaking and horrific. London Ambulance Service said a man in his 40s was found with injuries consistent with a fall and was sadly pronounced dead at the scene. And now, of course, pressing questions to be answered about how this happened. The Metropolitan Police Force are appealing for information, noting how busy the stadium was and therefore the high number of people who will have witnessed it or knowingly or unknowingly caught the incident on camera. In a statement, Oasis said they were shocked and saddened by the incident and extended their condolences to the family and friends of the person involved. Wembley Stadium said stadium medics supported the efforts and sent their thoughts to the family. But last night's show, the last of the Oasis run here at Wembley for now, went ahead as planned. I've just spoken to Jay, who was at the concert last night.
Everybody seemed super happy. A lot of people seemed really drunk. From what I can see, it felt pretty under control. But, I mean, it was a huge, huge crowd.
Well, the band will be back here at Wembley to play two more gigs at the end of next month. But in the meantime, this investigation into what happened here on Saturday will be pressing ahead.
Helen Hodder not reporting. Let's come back to our conversation, taking your calls. John's in Dover. John, the point you want to make about these two stories we're looking at. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Can I first say condolences to that young man that died at Oasis?
Yes.
My son was there, and, it's horrific.
Okay, it's
yeah, I've just finished. I worked 18 months at the detention centre at Manston.
Yep.
So spent an awful lot of time interviewing.
Just explain, Manston is in Kent, not that far from Dover. It was a former RAF base. Is that right? That's the one we're talking about.
That's absolutely right. Yep. It's the first point where people coming off the boats will come to be processed before they're moved on within 24 hours. I can't go into too much detail because of Official Secrets Act, etc.
Right. Okay.
The first point is, let's not be too hypocritical in this country. If the situation was reversed and we had tens of thousands of migrants sitting on our beaches, then we would want them moving on pretty quickly ourselves. And and I think that to say anything other than that is hypocritical.
Right, yes.
The second thing is, the only, in my opinion, having spoken to thousands of these people over the last 18 months, is that they are, in most instances, investing a huge amount of money in to get to this country, and the only solution in my mind to stop the whole process is high profile repatriations to the village, not the country, not the capital city, the villages of origin.
And Crikey, it's only how much is that going to cost?
It's possibly a pie in the sky scenario, but the message can only get across to people who are sending their children, their males to this country, is that it isn't working.
Mm.
And the only way they realise it isn't working.
Do you not think if there was footage of people being put on aircraft or put on boats and being flown or taken out of the country, do you not think that would send the same message, John?
It possibly would, and I wouldn't want to go down the route that America have gone with their high profile repatriations.
No, setting it to Jesse J's music.
But yes. Yeah, we definitely do need to up the repatriations. We definitely do need to insist that if
just
people
glimpse,
aren't genuinely asylum seekers and genuinely are getting asylum, then they need to be repatriated.
Lastly, and this question I can ask you, I respect the fact you've signed the Official Secret, how would you describe the mood, the morale in camp, both for the workers and the people who are held there, John? That's not going to break the Official Secret.
But 99% of the people who come across are euphoric once they get to Manston.
Yep.
That they've survived the ordeal of coming across the country, and they think that they are now, for the long term, in England.
John, thanks for your input and the work you've done, and sharing as much as you can. Coming up after the news, £100 million more of our money to be spent by the government to try and solve some of these problems. Policing Minister Dame Diana Johnson told me on Friday about work being done with France.
French police will not stop people once they've got into the boats in shallow water. And through the work of the Home Secretary and the Prime Minister, that is now being looked at as to whether the police in France will intervene.
That's after the 7:46 LBC news headlines read by Thomas Watts.
Millions of drivers could receive hundreds of pounds each as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. Gusts of 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of the UK. Another £100 million is to go towards tackling small boat crossings of the Channel. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier from the west later. A high of 24 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M25 clockwise onto the QE2 bridge. It's because a car's broken down. One lane is closed and it's slow back to junction 29 at the A127. In Whiteleaf, Westhall Road remains closed in both directions and that's all down to an accident. Very busy on the A3 in Wandsworth. This is West Hill going northbound up to the South Circular Road. On the trains, well, these problems continue for London North West and they're having to run a reduced service between Bedford and Bletchley because of a shortage of trains. But also Southern are delayed between London Bridge and East Croydon and also between Clapham Junction and East Croydon. And that's all down to a signal failure. And on the underground, Chancery Lane station remains closed.
This is LBC.
Train to Peckham. Kids in tow. Rooftop cinema time.
6 packs of popcorn. I think one will do, Nina.
Ah, clear skies, comfy seats, a talking panda. Clearly what we all needed. OK. Okay, everyone's seated now, probably doing panda impressions. I wonder when Nan can watch the kids so I can come back with James. Oh, just the two of us.
Download the Southern Railway app to book advanced tickets from only £8 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story. Terms apply. See our website for full details.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Who's a good human? Jenny is, because Jenny will always do what's best for Bertie, her bestie Bassett. So if Bertie needs to go and wee, that's what they're going to do. Even if it is 3 a.m. and it's raining cat lots. That's why she also chooses Butternut Box for Bertie's meals. Freshly prepared, served straight from the fridge, and conveniently delivered right to your door. At a time that suits you for once. Hey, Jenny.
Oh.
Ready to join thousands of good humans? Go to butternutbox.com to fetch 25% off your first box with code GOODHUMAN.
At TfL, we're helping to make bus journeys greener. Our entire bus fleet is 100% low or zero emission at the tailpipe, including those for our Superloop routes, helping improve air quality for all. And we'll have a fully zero emission fleet by 2034. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 5% AER variable. That includes a 2.25% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
For a whole year, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that dream holiday or a weekend getaway. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.89% gross. Terms apply.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix. By delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house,
and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly.
To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Just waiting to speak with the government minister concerning this extra £100 million, so that gives us time at 10 minutes before 8 to take another call. And it's Sam in Islington. Sam, the point you want to make. Good morning to you.
Sam, good Sam. Nick, good morning. Hello. How are you?
Hello, good, thank you.
Good, good. So if you can believe it, it's been 10 years since we last spoke. And when we spoke at the time, yes. I mentioned to you that, well, it was at the time where there was the huge waves of migrants leaving war-torn countries out mm-hmm. of Syria and the like. Mm-hmm. And I flagged the point at the time that they were moving across Europe like a plague. And mm. you were right to call it out for what it was, because that was a bit harsh. Yeah. But the reality is,
we are talking human beings, of course.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the reality is that I mentioned at the time that quite a high context of these people would be from a criminal background or mm-hmm. potential ISIS members, and you acknowledge the fact that that was a risk and that was a potential problem.
Okay, let's move it on to today, because I'm nervous a government minister might pop up in any moment, and I want to hear what you want to say, Sam.
Absolutely. Thank I mean, you, that's sir. Not really worth much anyway, but anyway, let's just get to the point.
Yes, sir.
So, 10 years on, look at Britain. We are overrun, and I look at it in a slightly different viewpoint that
Sam, we're going to return to this conversation. I would just caution use of language such as overrun. Again, these are human beings we're talking about, much as I don't like the word plague. But Sam, I do want to hear from you again. We are returning to a related subject. Please speak to my colleague, because I have not got to say farewell, because I have the opportunity of speaking with the government minister. Sam, I hope to speak with you again. Please understand the reason that I had to move in quite hastily. And now the minister who can join me is Labour MP and Minister of State for Border Security, Dame Angela Eagle. This as the Home Secretary last night announces £100 million of extra funding to crack down on some of these issues. Good to have you on, Minister. Where will the money be spent? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Morning. The money will be spent on turbocharging our intelligence and law response to the criminal gangs that are putting our border security at risk by sending these people across the channel. It will also be used to help fund the new agreement, returns agreement pilot with the French. We will also upgrade the way that we are dealing with illegal working in the country, so immigration enforcement can do more visits and arrest people who are working illegally, deport those that we find, and fine employers who are abusing workers and employing them illegally. So it's an across-the-piece enforcement issue, and that's what the money's going to be spent on.
The returns agreement you referenced, Minister, this is the one in, one out, as it was called.
Yes.
How many will that allow for?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a pilot, so it's going to start small so that we can get our systems operating. Remember, this is the first returns agreement that we've had.
Yes, the Home Secretary told me it would be 50 a week. You'll be aware that 25,000 people have arrived this year. 50 a week is not even a drop in the channel, is it?
Well, I think that you should wait for the announcements when the Home Secretary's going to be with you when we operationalise this deal.
Will the numbers start coming down, Minister?
Well, this is part of this is dealing with the organised immigration crime gangs that are facilitating this issue. And what we've got to do is more police work, more intelligence work to crack down on them, to arrest them. We have made some good arrests of people smuggling kingpins both in this country and operating from Europe recently. We've got the Germans to change the law so that we can interdict the supplies of boats. It might sound like a boring answer to you, Nick, but this is police work. It takes time. Well, there is no switch that can switch these things on and off. What we have done is we've allowed people smugglers, our predecessors, allowed people smugglers to operationalise and then industrialise their processes across our the channel, close to our
borders.
Your promise
to smash the gangs 12 months ago, that's hardly been successful, has it?
Well,
the numbers have increased.
Nick, we haven't got our border security bill yet, which gives us extra counter-terrorism-style powers to disrupt and prevent. We've got an opposition, the Tory opposition and Reform, who've voted against that bill. It's being held up in the Lords at the moment. The sooner we get those extra powers, the sooner we can be more effective with the £100 million of extra resource that has been announced today.
The Home Office has promised it will shut all asylum hotels. Where will the people go instead, Minister?
Well, firstly, we've got to get the system working so we actually make asylum claim determinations, because we inherited a system when there'd been a huge drop. So we had a huge backlog in the hotels. Once the system is working, we're getting that up and running. We've had 116% increase in first-tier determinations. The Home Secretary has announced a major reform of the appeal system to deal with the backlog that has now made an appearance there, because we've got the system moving again. The idea is to get people's asylum claims made quickly and effectively, so if they fail, they can be returned. If they are granted, they can be out of Home Office accommodation. That is what we do to make the hotel system better than it is at the moment. If you have people
stuck,
while
they're waiting for that, where will they go?
But if you have people stuck in a system that isn't working, the one that we inherited, it takes longer. We have to accommodate them for longer. So once we close the hotels, people will go to dispersed accommodation, where the majority of our asylum seekers are accommodated now.
Is this dispersed accommodation? Is that what's known as HMOs? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, it's not only HMOs. It depends on the circumstances of
individuals. And have we got enough of it?
Well, there's always a balance here in a period of scarcity. The thing is, if you can speed up the system, then you don't need to accommodate people for as long, and therefore you don't need as much accommodation. Our problem was that we inherited a broken system
That's the third time you've said that now.
Well,
and you did, but it's not like you came into power yesterday afternoon. You're 14 months and it's going backwards.
We've been in power for a year, and it's not going backwards.
What would you call 25,000 people arriving already? You'd call that progress?
No, That is the small boats issue. I was talking about the system as a whole. You were asking me about accommodation. We have to accommodate the people who claim asylum who are destitute. The vast majority of people who claim asylum, the majority, claim asylum after they've been here legally. They aren't small boats crossers.
Well, that's a record number, according to the Daily Telegraph, isn't it? A record number of migrants claim asylum despite arriving in the UK with legal visas. Some 4,394 legal migrants have claimed asylum within 3 years of arrival. So
yeah, but that was figures for 2022-23.
Won't be mirrored now.
No, they are our predecessors' legacy.
So that
to
we won't
us.
Get figures like that
because
from your administration.
They lost control. They lost control of the borders. We had nearly
control?
A million people a year coming in on visas legally and then claiming asylum. We are changing with our white paper on migration the rules so that we can reduce those numbers and ensure that kind of abuse doesn't happen.
All right, coming to the last minute or so together, how much money have we sent to France to try and help them stop migrant crossings?
Well, again, the previous government did a deal, a three-year deal, which we're in the second year of, called the Sandhurst deal, which was half a billion pounds.
Yeah.
And
why haven't you cancelled it?
Well, because if we fall out with the French and we don't cooperate with the French in policing at the borders, then more people will come across.
Well, how could it be any worse?
Well,
we're giving them money for nothing.
Nick, this is not true.
But what are they doing?
Nick, it's a very long border. They are now, thanks to us, changing their stance in the maritime area, so they will interdict in shallow waters, which they hadn't been allowed to do before now. This year so far, they have stopped over 13,000 people coming across with the work that they've done. So if we fall out with the French and have a big row with them, then that's not going to make things better.
So let them take money for nothing.
It's highly likely to make things worse. We are cooperating with the French. We are dealing with financing things like their specialist police outfit, the company Dimash, which is much more effective than what was there before. We're already seeing an increase in interdictions.
Finally.
We are going to have to work with them to do our one-in, one-out pilot. Having a big row with them, Nick, isn't going to make things better. It will make things worse.
Minister, for a final question, let's come back home and let's go to Warwickshire, where the local police force stands accused of covering up the identity of two people reportedly or allegedly involved in criminal offences on a 12-year-old girl. Should the Warwickshire Police, should all other police forces and services up and down the country give the background out routinely?
Well, firstly, that's an operational decision for the local police who are aware of all the issues.
Yes.
It's very important.
But do you support it?
It's very important for the prospects of getting justice for the victim that we don't prejudice any kind of trial by information given out during a live police investigation.
Right.
Because of the issues and our desire as a... Let me finish.
Well, you won't answer the question. Is it right to withhold the information?
Listen, it's an operational decision for the police, which I can't second guess from Whitehall.
National lead for police commissioners, Donna Jones, says it is not right. Information like that should be given out, otherwise you potentially risk another Southport riot.
Well, that is why we have expedited the Law Commission's current review of the laws on contempt, which were written before social media existed, so that we can try to get to a more modern position. That's what we've asked the Law Commission to do. We are in favour as a government of as much transparency as possible, but these matters remain operational matters for the local police force.
So you support Warwickshire?
Well, I've just said these matters remain operational matters for the local police force. They have to make those decisions. Okay. We want transparency. We are asking the Law Commission to expedite its review of the whole area of the law of contempt.
Great.
So that we don't prejudice trials
and
make certain that victims of horrendous crimes like this don't get the justice that they deserve.
Yes, thank you for your time. Dame Angela Eagle, Minister for Border Security and Asylum, explaining what the new initiatives hopefully might bring about. We've got us to 3 minutes after 8. Let's get some LBC News.
On your radio, on the LBC app and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, millions of drivers could share £18 billion as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. The Financial Conduct Authority is to consult on a claims system after last week's Supreme Court ruling on mis-selling. About 40% of people who had finance between 2007 and 2021 could be eligible. Nikhil Rathi, Chief Executive of the FCA, says the scheme could be up and running next year.
Our advice to consumers is that if you have already complained or if you are happy with your motor finance deal, you don't need to do anything. You do not need to use a CMC, a claims management company, or a law firm who might take up to 30% of any compensation you're owed. If you have concerns about your agreement, you should in the first instance contact your motor finance provider. We're hoping to get this up and running so that payments can start reaching consumers by next year.
The Royal Military Tattoo in Edinburgh has been cancelled due to weather for the first time ever as Storm Floris moves in. A yellow warning for wind is in force for northern parts of the UK for the next 24 hours. A more severe amber alert for much of Scotland will come in at 10. Weatherman John Ketley says gusts of up to 85 miles per hour are forecast.
It'll also cause dislocation to traffic, of course, travel, vessels being abandoned, cancelled across there in the Irish Sea. There certainly will be a lot of cancellations if you're thinking of travelling around Scotland, Northern Ireland into West Wales.
The Home Office has announced another £100 million package to crack down on people smuggling. It will support the pilot of the one-in, one-out returns agreement with France, but the Tories say the government is just tinkering at the edges. Oasis say they are shocked and saddened after a fan fell to his death during their show at Wembley on Saturday night. Police are asking people with mobile phone footage to come forward. The final test between England and India is on a knife edge heading into the final day of the series. The hosts need 35 more runs to win after poor light and rain brought an early end to play at the Oval yesterday. They are on 339 for 6 in pursuit of 374. In the city, the FTSE 100 is just reopening at 90.68. It closed down 64 on Friday. The pound buys $1.32 and the euro 14. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm turning drier with some sunny spells later, a high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 6 minutes after eight, Monday the 4th of August. In this hour, the teacher who criticised the jail term for Lucy Connolly loses his job despite offering to apologise. Whatever happened to free speech? It's Car Compo Day. You could possibly be up for £950 payment.
Millions of motorists could be in line for a payout following the announcement from the regulator that it is considering a compensation scheme over the car finance scandal. I'm Dean Dunham and I'll be joining Nick Ferrari later in the programme.
Seeing the true face of Labour, remember they put VAT on school fees? Lord Kinnock has talked about a wealth tax. Now his latest brainwave is VAT on private health schemes. Yes, that's right, they're coming after you now on that. Back to Labour in power. What would seem to be the conclusion from my conversation with Dame Angela Eagle, we'll continue paying the French money to do nothing because we don't want to upset them. Would you really countenance running a business in that fashion? No, I thought not. And would you countenance having a dip in the sea? Nearly half of Britons would say thanks, but no thanks. Chloe Flood is with Surface Against Sewage.
We see water companies continuing to pollute our favourite spots. They sort of get away with a slap on the wrist, which is just not good enough.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
How free is free speech in this country? By the way, we shall return to the conversation concerning this new initiative, £100 million, in the light of my conversation with the relevant government minister, and that extraordinary line that we will continue to pay the French the thick end of £500 million over 3 years, despite everyone acknowledging they're not doing anything. But if we stop paying them, they might not do anything. You really wouldn't run a chip shop in that fashion, would you? But anyway, let's move it to other stories. And let's get right from the start, right from the very beginning. I have no brief for, I am not condoning or supporting in any way language used by Lucy Connolly in that now infamous post on social media. She was jailed in October last year after posting an online message on the day of the Southport child murders when tensions were running pretty high, and it read, "Mass deportation now. Set fire to all the effing hotels, full of the B-words for all I care. While you're at it, take the treacherous government politicians with them." The 42-year-old woman, who had lost a child of her own, deleted the post fewer than 4 hours later, but it had been seen 310,000 times. She got a 31-month jail term. I want to say one final time, I am not supporting that language for a moment. And neither was a teacher who said it was obviously wrong, but she should not have been jailed. He, the teacher, Simon Pearson, who taught at Preston College, Mr. Preston, was dismissed after an internal investigation prompted by a complaint from a Muslim representative of the National Education Union, the NEU, at the college. Do you remember when trade unions were there to help support the workers? Do you remember that? Now it would have seemed the jobs of trade unions to try and ensure that workers get fired. Mr. Pearson has given an interview to a newspaper, The Daily Telegraph. "I'm appalled by the way I've been treated. I've dedicated my life to education and to supporting students from all walks of life, yet as soon as I was branded Islamophobic for expressing concern about violent crime, I became a marked man. It was clear I had to be found guilty by the college, it became a witch hunt, and I had to be eliminated no matter what." Do you realise the sort of comments that Mr. Pearson made are the sort of comments that drives a radio station such as LBC, and I take calls like that, as do all my colleagues. That's what we're about. It's what I thought was called free speech. Now, Mr. Pearson has started legal proceedings, which does not preclude us from talking about it because we can't influence an employment tribunal, whereas we can a court of law, as it were. So if you're wondering, why can't we talk about Manchester Airport? Why can't we talk about what's happening in Nuneaton? That's because they're going before the courts. This is going before an employment tribunal. So do we actually have free speech, or is it rather selective? Again, I'm not supporting that woman, but surely a teacher is allowed a say on it. And what about the union who wants to get him out? Now, I'm not the only person with concerns about how free speech in the United Kingdom is. Here's US Vice President J.D. Vance, who's on his way, I think, later this month to the Cotswolds, by the way, addressing this in the White House back in February.
"We do have, of course, a special relationship with our friends in the UK and also with some of our European allies, but we also know that there have been infringements on free speech that actually affect not just the British, of course, what the British do in their own country is up to them, but also affect American technology companies and, by extension, American citizens. So that is something that we'll talk about today at lunch.
Well, we've had free speech for a very, very long time in the United Kingdom, and it will last for a very, very long time. Certainly we wouldn't want to reach across US citizens, and we don't, and that's absolutely right. But in relation to free speech in the UK, I'm very proud of our history there."
Well, try telling that to this teacher. Let's bring to the conversation Chris McGovern, who's chairman of the Campaign for Real Education and is a former head himself. Hopefully I've given you enough of the background of this story. You may even have picked up on it anyway as being an educationalist. Your reaction to what you're hearing or reading? Good morning.
Well, let me first of all say, Nick, that there's never been free speech in education. 30 years ago, I lost my job. I was accused of insubordination and mutiny because I criticised exam standards. It became a big case. It was debated in Parliament. So this teacher has spoken out privately. I know it's on a public forum, but people can read it. But actually not as a teacher. He's speaking out in a private capacity, and his actions are controlled by the law of the land. Now, the teaching profession or his union or his governing body in Preston have decided that what he says they don't like, and therefore he's going to be sacked. He's going to lose his livelihood. Now, this is completely outrageous, but this, don't go into the mythology of thinking there's been support in the past. Unions have never supported teachers like myself, who actually broke the rules by speaking freely. Look, I spoke freely, was called to down the street to advise them, but I still lost my job. So this teacher is in a hopeless position because the profession itself does not like what he says. And there are certain things you can say and certain things you can't say. teaching and they've never been a profession where you can speak freely. And if you do speak freely, as I found from my own position, and this teacher's found out today, you may lose your livelihood. That's the reality, Nick. So don't go into the mythology. There's always been free speech or that the unions will help you. And by the way, Lord Young, who has spoken on this very recently and said how appalling it is, I taught that boy back in Devon some years ago when he was a boy.
Is this the man I know as Toby Young? Is it the same? Is this of whom we speak?
Yeah. One of my people, but he's doing a great job now, so thank God I taught him a little bit.
To your point about this gentleman's career, presumably this is almost made him unemployable, I would imagine, this profession, isn't it?
Yeah, what I did at the time, I lost my job. I went into the private sector, was very successful, became head teacher. Look, I was advising Margaret Thatcher, John Major. Major spoke up publicly, supported me. I could do my job. I think I was a very good teacher. And there are thousands of people who can say so. Didn't protect me. This teacher, who's a teacher, actually, I think, of foreign languages.
Yes.
Indeed, would be working with non-British kids as well. I'm doing a great job, I suspect. He probably made himself unemployable in the state sector. He might find a refuge in the private sector.
Lastly, what is the role of the NEU here? I think you and I are of a similar vintage. I remember when trades unions were there to try and support the workers, not ensure that they lost their jobs.
Yeah, well, they certainly didn't support me when I lost my job. They're a bit like mafia bosses. You toe the line, they'll go along with you. But forget it. They're not going to support this chap because they don't like what he says. So he can forget the union.
Grateful for your time, Chris. Thank you. Chris McGovern, who taught Lord Young. There we are. You're chairman of the Campaign for Real Education, your former head. This is what this teacher wrote. Having said Connolly, the woman who put that post out, comments were appalling and obviously wrong. She should not have been jailed for that. People presumed the worst and were outraged by the killing of three little girls. It was wrong. But how many Islamist plots and crimes have been experienced in our country? The Manchester Arena bombing, Lee Rigby, etc. Certain sections of society calling for the genocide of Jews from the river to the sea are also free to express their opinions and make Jewish people afraid to walk the streets. There is a two-tier policy from the top down. Has our country's woke leadership lost its mind? Should we be seeking asylum in America? And for that, he lost his job. So how free is free speech? Plus, also coming up after the latest news headlines, how you could, if you get into gear, cash in on that car compo with the mis-selling scandal. 8.15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Motor finance lenders could face a bill of £18 billion as part of a compensation scheme. Weather warnings are in force with Storm Floris expected to cause severe travel disruption across the north. And ministers have announced another £100 million to crack down on English Channel crossings. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, drier from the west later, a high of 24 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 clockwise from junction 29 at the A127 to the QE2 bridge. It was after that car broke down earlier. All the lanes are open now, but it's still very slow. And the A13 also very busy heading towards the M25 junction as a result. Now also, these problems in Whiteleaf continue. Westhall Road is closed both ways, and that's all down to an accident. On the trains, well, these problems for Southern continue as well. Delays of about 20 minutes between London Bridge and South Croydon, and also between Clapham Junction and South Croydon. It's all down to a signal failure. And on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line because of a shortage of trains.
LBC.
Say hello to Deliveroo's Fridge Filler Mondays. Woo-hoo! Each Monday, enjoy 50% off selected fresh and chilled groceries from your favourite supermarkets. Order ingredients for a big breakfast, a soul-stirring stir-fry, or your five-a-day for the next 5 days. Deliveroo's Fridge Filler Mondays now just got even better. Selected partners only, geographical restrictions, customer eligibility and fees apply. Subject to availability. See deliveroo.co.uk/terms for offer T's and C's.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
But 9.13% fixed annual return with Cufflink. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Hard not to agree. Visit cufflink.com. That's Cufflink. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to auto-invest and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA. Visit cufflink.com for full T's and C's.
With Little Plus Bakery Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free Little Bakery coupon on every shop. Download Little Plus and get a little bit more at the Retail Industry Awards Supermarket of the Year.
18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability, ends 20th of August, full T's and C's apply, see little.co.uk/spin.
Because you never know what little pickles will get themselves into. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Number of calls coming in concerning this teacher who probably now has, well, certainly within the state sector, as we were hearing from that former head, probably lost his job for the rest of his career, would have to possibly look at other work going into the private sector. Let's get an input, though, from the legal side. Robin Moira White is a discrimination and employment law barrister to be found at Old Square Chambers, joins me now. Thank you very much for coming on. So, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase here. The school says effectively that they've taken its name into disrepute. How valid is that argument in your view? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, there's a balance to be struck. I mean, plainly, free speech is very important in our society. But ultimately, if what you've freely spoken shows that you're unsuitable for the job that you have, then the employer is entitled to take that into account.
How is suitability to be determined?
Well, it's a difficult line to draw, but there are some cases to help. There was a case called Page a few years ago about a magistrate with strong religious views who would not confirm adoptions by gay couples. Mm-hmm. And that obviously showed that he couldn't do his job. And more recently, there's been a case called Harrison Farmer School about a school care assistant who had particular views about LGBT people. And in that case, the decision went the other way, and it said the school had wrongly assumed that she would act improperly towards people in that community.
It is reported that Mr. Pearson, the teacher, has started legal proceedings with an argument that his posts are expressions of protected philosophical and Christian beliefs. Your take on that?
Well, all of these cases are very fact-specific, so it depends what precisely his beliefs are, exactly what he said. I mean, Lucy Connolly, as I recall, called on people to be... I mean, the effect of her speech was...
Set fire to all the effing hotels, yes.
Indeed, yeah, which was to incite, people to be killed.
Yeah.
Now, supporting that might come very close to the line...
Well, that's the key, isn't it? Because I sense the teacher would argue, having said that those comments were appalling and obviously wrong, he would argue that it was the jail term that he's getting at.
Yeah, and...
And I would have thought that's the essence of what we enjoy in this country, that as long as you don't be seen to... Because I don't think... I haven't got a moment for those comments, but I'm allowed to say I think the jail term was a bit steep.
Nick, you're a commentator on public radio. Mm. You're not a teacher in a school.
And God for the pupils.
The school has to look at all the nuance, the detail of what was said, how it was said, where it was said, what was said around it.
So lastly, J.D. Vance is coming to the Cotswolds. By pure chance, you happen to bump into him at a railway station or wherever it might be, and he says that we pretty much don't have free speech. What would you say to him?
I'm afraid we do, but there are limits to free speech in any society. I mean, the classic example is that you can't stand up in a crowded cinema and shout fire when there isn't a fire.
Yeah.
We don't have rights to free speech that are absolute. There are limits to that.
With rights comes responsibilities, and the responsibility is, as you rightly say, not to shout fire in a crowded cinema. Thanks for your time. Robin Moira White is discrimination and employment law barrister at Old Square Chambers. Coming up on 8:22. Keep it 8:22. Steve's in Watford on this. Steve, how much free is free speech in the UK?
I think, Nick, that under this administration, it is being eroded quite quickly. And I would urge people to read two books to give them some clarification on what's happening today. The first one most people know, and you've probably read it, Nick, is 1984.
Yeah, I reread it last summer, deliberately, because of the way that I saw the country go.
The other book I'd get people to read would be by Aldous Huxley called Brave New World. It's the same sort of issue, but on two clarification points. The first one is, under 1984, the country in this book is ruled by fear.
Right.
By the state, by Big Brother.
Yep.
Under Huxley's book, the state rules people by drugs and recreational sex.
Ah, so now you see, I'm not familiar with this.
The same theme, but two different aspects. But under this country now, I think, yes, free speech is being eroded quite quickly by this government. Can I just make
mob were involved as well?
Oh, I think all governments have had an issue on this, but I think this government has taken it a bit too far. With regards to the teacher, I'm on the fence on this one, Nick, because I thought the idea of a teacher was to educate children on issues of the day, plus obviously maths and other issues they have to learn. So, you know, I'm on the fence on this one. I think maybe a warning should have been more appropriate than attacking him.
I agree. I always seek to try and find a middle ground. Not trying to catch you out, Steve. Can you remember the opening paragraph, the opening sentence of 1984?
It's quite a few years since I read it.
Here we go. Listen to this. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13.
Of course, yes.
I remember. I've looked it up, by the way, as you were talking. And by the way, if you haven't read this book, it's not a thick, it's not a heavy book. You get through it at 1,000 miles an hour. The narrative is fantastic. It's very compelling. It shows its age to a degree, but I'll just read that again. Steve, thank you for reminding. Aldous Huxley, I will look that up, by the way, after school today. How old am I? when I get home to do my homework. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. Whoa, hang on a second. And that sets the whole tone. Steve, enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. Well, if there's something wrong in that book, there certainly would appear to be something wrong with the so-called finance mis-selling scandal. Millions of us could be handed a share of a multi-billion pound compensation package after the city regulator said it would open a redress scheme. Nikhil Ratti, if I'm saying that correctly, I hope I am, is chief executive of the authority, the FCA, spoke about the compensation scheme being set up.
It's clear that some firms have broken the law or our rules, and it's fair that consumers are compensated when that has happened, and that's why we're going to propose a compensation scheme. We've said all along that as we consult on this compensation scheme, we want to balance the principles of fairness, timeliness and certainty.
Now, this ruling was handed down at 4:30 last Friday afternoon. You may recall on the show on Friday morning, the show, we said, if it goes our way, your way, this way, we would give you more details. Dean Dunham, consumer lawyer, and of course is on the LBC team sheet, does the Consumer Hour Sunday nights from 9, joins me now. OK, what I think we have to focus in on, and because funny enough, I was in a taxi Friday night and the person was listening to LBC and said, well, all people, am I in line for some cash? Dean, what do people have to do? Morning.
First of all, Nick, they need to forget about the Supreme Court ruling on Friday because it now doesn't matter. But what we need to look at now is what is going to be paid out under this potential scheme. We don't know if it's going to happen yet, but if it does happen. And the answer is there's two strands of car finance mis-selling this scheme will look at. The first one, Nick, is what's called discretionary commission arrangements. This is an arrangement, I know it sounds complicated, but this is an arrangement where brokers and dealers...
Sorry, discretionary what arrangements? Because I know I'm going to take calls on this. I'm going to have
discretionary commission arrangements, okay. So DCA.
This is
where the broker, which is basically the finance company, the dealership, increase the amount of interest they earn without telling you and me as the buyer of the vehicle. And as a result, Nick, they receive more commission as the interest rate went up. This applies to about 40% of these finance agreements. Nick, if you had one of these, there's going to be good news because you're almost certainly going to be entitled
to
a payout. That's the million-dollar question because, of course, they didn't tell you if you had one of these. So what you have to do is you have to ask the question. Now, what we don't know is how this new scheme, this compensation scheme, will deal with this, but it will deal with it. It will have a mechanism for ascertaining whether you had one of these DCA agreements. The big message, you've just heard it there from Nicol Rafferty, is you don't have to do anything. They're going to do all the heavy lifting for you.
Do you believe that?
I want to believe it, but I'm a little bit dubious because historically we know these schemes often don't work as they are supposed to work.
No.
And often they're not anywhere near as quick as they are supposed to be. But let's hope they are, Nick.
But I buy a car 5 years ago with Dunham Finance, one of the dodgiest firms there is out there. I've subsequently moved home, divorced and living in a different part of the country. How are they ever going to find me?
And also, have they deleted your data already? The answer to that is probably yes in many cases. And again, we just don't know how this new compensation scheme will deal with that, but we are assured that it will deal with it. Nick, there's a second strand here. This is more difficult, this one, unfortunately, but this is where... Isn't it always
difficult?
Because
that one was so easy, Dean.
Oh, that one's straightforward. This one's a little bit more complicated.
Come on, then.
This is where the commission is deemed to be unfair. Now, the reason this is so difficult is because this is on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
But this is where I need to come back to this Supreme Court case, because there were three elements to that case. Two of them lost. Let's not worry about those. One element was successful, and it was this unfair scenario. We got an indication here, because this is what the judges basically said was that where there is something unfair or misleading, and there were two examples given in that case. One, the commission was too high. It was 55% of the total amount loaned. Or secondly, where there was some kind of arrangement that you were not told about. This one was, there was an exclusive tie-up between the car dealership and the finance agreement. Of course, you should have known that, but you weren't told. More difficult, but again, if you've got some of those elements, you will likely get a payout as well.
Lastly, to the cab driver I was with on Friday, to listeners who are thinking, Dean, I know I can phone you every Sunday night at 9, but can you just tell me now, what should I do? Should you sign up to some of these agencies that are advertising?
Look, the big message being given out now is no, do not sign up to any of these agencies, CMCs, law firms. The reason for it is...
Once they've got you.
Once they've got you, they're going to grab up to 30% of your compensation, but you don't need them. It's apparently going to be an easy scheme. It's going to be no lifting for you, automatic compensation. Don't do that. But, Nick, I do want to finally say this.
Go on.
If you haven't complained already, you must do so now, and you must do so in writing. That's a letter to your car dealership saying, I think I had one of these discretionary commission agreements, or I think I was treated unfairly. I think I'm entitled to compensation. You've got to put your claim in now. And after you've done that, sit back, do nothing. Let's hope the FCA is correct in what it's saying, and you'll just get some money in your bank account.
Dean Dunham, consumer lawyer, presenter of the LBC Consumer Hour. Thanks, Dean. Sunday nights at 9. Thank you for your input. Give me a call if you're prepared to say that you worked in the industry. Possibly you unknowingly, you are a car salesman or saleswoman and you were flogging cars. You had no idea what was going on, because I doubt that you were running the Santander or the Lloyds or the HSBC finance packages or whatever it might be. Or, of course, if you feel you've been affected. Also, after the news, remember this.
An imposition of 2% on asset values above 10 million, say, which is a very big fortune. The government would be in a position to collect 10 or 11 billion a year.
The true face of Labour. That was former Labour leader Neil, now Lord Kinnock, calling last month for a wealth tax. Now, latest idea for the Chancellor, put tax VAT on private healthcare. I'll tell you more after this. It's 8:31. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferraro on LBC. News time, Thomas Watts.
Millions of drivers could receive hundreds of pounds each as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. Shares in major lenders have rallied this morning because it's not going to be as costly as they first feared. Gusts of up to 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of the UK. A yellow warning for wind is in force, with a more severe amber alert due to take effect in Scotland from 10. Another £100 million is to go towards tackling small boat crossings of the English Channel. The Home Office says it will support the pilot of the one-in, one-out returns agreement with France. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier with some sunny spells later. A high of 24 degrees.
This is LBC.
A Southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields, or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
You know how fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because sound is the most effective way to tell the players they're rubbish. Works in advertising too. Because when you amplify your advertising using radio, your campaign is 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation.
If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
With Little Plus Bakery Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free Little Bakery coupon on every shop. Download Little Plus and get
a little bit more
at the Retail Industry Awards Supermarket of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability, ends 20th of August, full T's and C's apply, see little.co.uk/spin.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:33, let's talk about this car scandal then, or mis-selling scandal, I should say. Car finance mis-selling. Love to hear from you if you're in a car dealership, you work there as a salesman or saleswoman. Jonathan in Broadstairs. Jonathan, how has this affected you? You've been hanging on the line, thank you.
Yeah, okay, good morning, first time calling in.
Good to have you on, sir, thank you.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so basically I had two car finances out there, one in 2020 and one in 2023. And then when this all came about, I thought I'd check, because it said up to 2021.
Mm.
But then they checked both of them, and the one in 2020, there was no excessive, the commission payments added. But the 2023 one, they were. So then I went.
How did you discover that then? You just wrote the dealership a letter?
It was Martin Lewis. I just saw it. It was right. Like Martin Lewis. And he gave me they had a letter that he sent to the car finance people.
You send it to the bank. Not. I'm just going to say that you bought an Aston Martin. So you don't send it to the Aston Martin dealership. You send it to Lloyds or whoever did the finance. Is that right?
No, I sent it to the finance company, the car finance company.
How do you know what they are?
Yeah, it was just like it's on your finance agreement who it is. So I sent that directly to them, and they came back and said, and they agreed that on the 2023 one, because I thought it was 2021, I didn't think anything on the 2023, and they've agreed that there was a discretionary commission paid on that. So then I'm just thinking, well, because I asked for car finance for about $250 a month, and then it came back, it was $350 a month, so I was just thinking, well, does that, if I get a payment back, will my cost of monthly go down again? Because obviously you've been paying that.
So did you get money back?
I haven't heard anything yet. I was hoping that guy would stay on and he'd answer a few questions.
Oh, well, you can get Dean on Sunday nights here on LBC. So we're still waiting on your case. Okay. Jonathan, thank you. Let us know how you get on. Stephen, you want to... you could be the man I'm after in that you've worked in the business. And I'll come to you in a moment. But I do want... And we've got a doctor hanging on the line to talk about this story, which I did mention when we went through the review of the newspapers, which is the idea from now Lord Kinnock that VAT should be put on private healthcare in the upcoming budget. He said it would raise billions of pounds for the NHS. Now, it's worth saying his idea of a wealth tax, which he said would raise in excess of £10 billion. Almost every credible economist has called into question. Of course it would raise some money, but they don't have to be quite as much as that. But back to this idea. He says removing the exemption on private healthcare would provide vital funding for public services, and he said be widely supported by the public. That's his view. If such a tax was structured to give private hospitals a carve-out for any work they do for the NHS, it would still raise more than £2 billion, analysis suggests, which is a chunk of change. Let's get a view now from Dr. Tony O'Sullivan, a retired NHS consultant paediatrician, co-chair of Keep Our NHS Public. Your take on this idea. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think many people in the population will be very surprised that private companies are not charged VAT for providing healthcare that privately, that's a personal choice of people, when there's a public service available in the NHS that's actually funded out of funds from taxation and publicly raised finance. And that's the way our taxation system works. The NHS needs the funding to meet the need, and it hasn't been having that, and it's been struggling very severely in the last few years.
But the NHS has.
The private sector gets an unfair advantage, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but they get access to fully trained staff trained by by universities and the NHS itself. The private sector provide no training, they provide no ongoing education, they usually provide no intensive care or emergency support. They rely on NHS for rescue when things go wrong. They take staff and funding from the NHS and actually undermine the NHS to the extent that some departments, such as ophthalmology, are struggling to keep up with the needs of patients because private sector has drained resources. So
equally, Doctor, they don't take £180 billion each year of tax revenue.
£180 billion of funding that the NHS requires, A, is far less than equivalent countries in Europe, and B,
Which have better outcomes in many instances,
money is actually the going rate for a service that's serving the needs of 65 million people in this country. And if we want a health service and a healthy population, we have to pay for it. So just putting out a figure of 180
billion.
We've had a health
service for 70 plus years and the population's getting unhealthier, getting less healthy.
It is indeed. And
so it's not working, is it?
And for the last 15 years, as you know, from all your coverage of it, and you and I have discussed, for example...
Hello? Oh, Lord. Can you hear me, Doctor?
Do you know the reduction in funding relative to the growing need has pushed the NHS to the level of crisis? And that is why... there aren't enough GPs. That is why there's 100,000 vacancies, 40,000...
So you would have thought, Doctor, anything that helped ease that crisis, that is to say, if one of my listeners needed a new knee and he or she were able to pay for that new knee to be done away from the NHS lists, that's obviously helping another person who needs a knee, but Lord Kinnock wants to make sure they pay even more. How can that make sense?
Well... let's unpick that argument if you've got time. First of all, if an individual person is in real distress and needs an operation and the NHS cannot provide it, or the NHS is sending them to a private company paid by the NHS, I don't criticise that person for a minute. What we have to have is political responsibility for supporting the NHS to the level where it meets the needs of the population.
That would be 180 billion quid a year, £3 billion a week.
Absolutely, and if you don't think that a country needs to pay the going rate for its health service, then I don't know what you do.
I don't think the NHS is working as well as it could.
And it's not working as well as it could, partly because it isn't funded sufficiently, and partly because there's
£3 billion a week, Doctor.
Well, you're just saying that.
I'm not just saying that, respectfully, sir. It's the budget.
No, but you're just saying that's outrageous. It's actually it's below what is needed. And if we were, you know, this argument inside out, if we were funded at the level of France, we would have been paying for the last 15 years. We would have been paying about £35 billion a year.
Why isn't another country doing it? Why isn't there the French Health Service, which is akin to the National Health Service, or
countries all over the world,
the Brazilian Health Service, or whatever it might be?
Well, Brazil is a really good example. Brazil based its healthcare on the NHS,
but it's not funded in the same fashion. In that, if you're in employment, you're expected to have a provision for private healthcare, much as you are in France.
The Brazilian system is a public health service.
Why don't we do that here?
It's there for all. Because it's less efficient and it's more expensive.
And this is efficient? This system is efficient?
Well, if you let me get a sentence out. When when a really good system is funded properly in the NHS, out of public funding, it is more efficient than a service that's based on private insurance. Now, you have a really good healthcare system, for example, in France or in Switzerland. Switzerland is over 50% more expensive than in England.
If you have a job in Switzerland, and I happen to be half Swiss, so I do know this, if you're employed, you have to have private health cover, and that's what we don't have in this country. I have enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for the work you did. Dr. Tony O'Sullivan, you're an NHS consultant paediatrician, and you are co-chair of Keep Our NHS Public. There is an argument to be had there that the NHS, brilliant as it is not working as well as it needs to. We might explore that. Stephen's in Bushy. You're in the car business. What do you do? Good morning.
I was in the car business. I got out several years ago.
So you made your millions, you've got your house in Marbella, you've got your place in the Cotswolds and a nice house in Hertfordshire. It's good, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. What used to happen? I'll be honest with you. I've had
finance. A car dealer. Be honest. Come on. Here we go. This should be good.
Well, that's why I got out of the business, because I was too honest. We used to sell cars, okay, and sometimes we would do finance deals because of the commissions we earned. Mm. We would sell a car sometimes for no profit because we got good commissions. Now, these people that are complaining about it are absolutely ridiculous. They know what they're signing up for. Why are they moaning?
Well, hang on, I made a note now. I've lost my note now, because I'll tell you why. Because my mate Dean Dunham, who's on LBC at 9 o'clock at night, there was an increased interest without telling the customer. Now, that's not fair. If I sign at a...
What do you mean, an increased interest?
Exactly what Dean told me. I wrote it down. Increased interest without telling the customer. So whatever that you were making... the finance company, well, it could have been a bank, that was increased and the customer wasn't told. Well, that's not fair.
Well, does that mean their payments went up?
No, but the chunk that came out of it is not what they originally signed. So that they've changed the paperwork. That can't be right, can it?
No. They can't change paperwork. This is an illegal contract, then. That's absolutely illegal.
Well, that's what this is all about. That's why you could be looking at £950 per claim.
I just find that absolutely ridiculous. As I said to you, we used to sign up people. They either signed the agreement or didn't sign.
Here we are. Discretionary commissions, which is what Dean was telling us about, they were banned in 2021, inflated the cost of car financing by letting car dealers claim higher commissions if they put customers on loans that paid more interest to lenders. Around 14.6 million contracts were affected from 2007 until 2020. That's how they worked. And that's in The Guardian. It's got to be true.
Okay, that's fine, but no, they never increased the payments or increased the interest after they'd signed the contract.
Yeah, but the car dealers could claim higher commissions if they put the customers on loans. So they weren't telling them that that's what was happening. Not you, but a car dealer would do that and misrepresent the deal to the customer.
They're not misrepresenting anything. All they're doing is they're charging a higher rate of interest.
I can do you a package. Here we are. It's a beautiful little... I've got you this superb little VW. You're going to love it. It's had one careful owner. She only went to church on Sundays. And I can get it for you. I tell you what, just give me £1,000 now, 550 quid a month. Well, actually, I've inflated it. Because, in reality, I'm getting the finance for 470 quid a month. And I've ripped you off for 75 quid. That's what they're trying to get at. That's what they're trying to... Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm just trying to answer you. I can't see that. I just can't see that.
Well, that's what it... Well, consultation begins in October. That's what they say they will be trying to rule out. Stephen, what line are you in now? Something honest, I know.
No, I've retired. I'm absolutely retired.
You made all your money.
Yeah.
What cars did you sell?
Teams.
What cars
did all you sell? All sorts. Any cars with a bit of profit.
What were the best? Hatchbacks?
Sell absolutely
anything. You enjoy your retirement, you've earned it, I'm sure. Stephen, thank you. Let's see how it all pans out. Coming up later in the show, it's Back to the Future. We go back in time. Here's Minister for Border Security Dame Angela Eagle defending UK's cooperation, which is just a whisker under £500 million, with the French over small boat crossings.
If we fall out with the French and we don't cooperate with the French in policing at the borders, then more people will come across.
Well, how could it be any worse? Well, we're giving them money for nothing. Honestly, the French connection, they must be laughing all the way to Le Bonc. 8:46, LBC News headlines read by Thomas Watts.
Millions of drivers could receive hundreds of pounds each as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. Gusts of 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of the UK. Another £100 million is to go towards tackling small boat crossings of the Channel. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier from the west later. A high of 24 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 clockwise onto the QE2 bridge, and it was after that car broke down earlier. It's been recovered for a while, but it's still slow from junction 29 at the A127. And then also it's slow from junction 2 at the A2 to junction 3 at the M20, also going clockwise, and that was after a lorry broke down earlier, but that's also been recovered. In Whiteleaf, Westall Road stays closed both ways following an accident. In Waltham Abbey, Honey Lane's very slow both ways, and that's all down to an accident. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee and District lines, and also on the train, Southern services are delayed by about 20 minutes between London Bridge and South Croydon, and Thameslink services are disrupted between Luton and St Pancras.
This is LBC.
Here comes Steve, with the satisfied smile of a man who's checking out at midday after a great night's sleep and a delicious unlimited brekkie. See the untamable bedhead hair, and if you look really close, you can see that properly well-rested glow. Which can only mean one thing. Last night, he slept at Premier Inn. Get better sleep for your money. Premier Inn. Rest easy. Breakfast subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
So, where are we going?
You wanted to try something new? Well, we're here.
The Hyundai Electrifying Summer Event.
I booked a test drive in the all-new Insta online. It's the 2025 World Electric Vehicle winner, and we save £500 if we order before the 31st of August.
Ooh, very stylish.
Oh, and it's Hyundai, by the way.
The Hyundai Electrifying Summer Event. Are you in? 18 plus UK retail customers only. Excludes Motability. Registered by 30th of September. T's and C's apply.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 5% AER variable. That includes a 2.25% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
For a whole year, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that dream holiday or a weekend getaway. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.89% gross. Terms apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
With Little Plus Bakery Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free Little Bakery coupon on every shop. Download Little Plus and get at the Retail Industry Awards Supermarket of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability, ends 20th of August. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Okay, train from London to peaceful Peterborough.
Neem Park this way, huh?
Gorgeous. Wow. Never thought I'd be this into bird watching.
Did you see it? Lovely plumage.
Train home. Brilliant day. Oh, gotta rent bikes next time to see the big lake. And more birds, obviously.
Download the Thameslink Railway app and save with advanced tickets. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story. Terms apply. See our website for full details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's front page news for The Guardian, 10 minutes before 9. Millions in line for payouts, but there does seem to be, understandable, a degree of confusion exactly as to how you find out. Chris is in Enfield. Now, Chris, you're also in the game, were you? Or you are in the game. Good morning.
No. I used to be in the game. I used to work for a big car warehouse company.
Yeah.
But the amount of interest that they were piling onto these people, I'm talking about thousands upon.
Tell me how it works. You sell me a nice Ford Cortina for $10,000. What happens next?
Right, that Ford Cortina is not really worth $10,000. What happens is when you walk through the door. In where I used to work, we try to find out what is your budget. Now, we used to work on that budget, and try and land them on a car that is suitable for their budget.
Okay, so, hi, nice to meet you, Chris. I can't go above nine. I've got £9,000. I need a nice little runaround. I'm going to take it to my car, park it at the railway station.
So that's fine.
What you got?
You won't spend more than nine.
Ah.
What happens is, normally you change your car over 3 years.
Yeah.
That's an average.
Yeah.
Person changes their cars over 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is, you won't be liable for that you won't be paying the full amount. You'll be selling the car and then paying it off. Right. So you won't be paying that 9,000. So you'll be paying 6,000 theoretically.
Right.
And then it entices the customer, and especially if they're in need of a car, they don't really care.
Right. So what are you getting out of it? So you're selling me a car, and then you're loading it up on the finance.
That's right.
Mm. By how much? Can you give me an idea?
Well, the minimum they will make is 2,500 to as much as 5,000.
What, per vehicle?
Finance. Per vehicle, yeah. Because I have to reach a certain a target on finance, and then a target on the profits on cars. And they used to pay us roughly around about £4,000 to £8,000 per month. The good sellers that would sell about 18 cars a month will earn around about £8,000 take home.
Right. Okay. And you're selling that's all in. That's basic salary plus commission.
Oh. Yes, that's right.
So that's knocking $100,000.
Well, the thing is, okay, once I load them on the computer to find out what credit ratings they are and what finance companies will touch them, okay, we'll hand them back to the finance department, which they take over, and this is how they make their money.
Got it. Chris, thank you. Thanks for the insight, having done it for a living. I've got to move on because I'm asking whether how free speech is in this country. In the light of the teacher who supported her, and he accepts ghastly comments made by Lucy Connolly. Joe's in North Ayrshire. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hi there, Nick.
What are you going to tell me?
Well, I was just kind of vaguely amused by J.D. Vance criticising UK over free speech, because I think the US has really gone too far the other way. I mean, I'm sure we can all agree, free speech is crucial. It's absolutely crucial.
Yes,
but
of course, yes.
The US has gone so far the other way in accepting lies and fake news that they have a president who is a compulsive and routine liar. And the trouble is, when people are constantly lied to, they don't know, you end up with a population who can't tell, they're confused between the difference between truth and lies. And that's what they base their votes and opinions on. And if they're constantly drip-fed lies, you have to base your opinions on facts.
Okay, but if we bring it back to the UK, do you think we have free speech here in the way that we hope we do? Or in the case of this teacher, I would argue he didn't have that much free speech because he's probably lost his career, not just his job.
Yeah, sorry, Nick, I only caught a bit of that. I'd not long switched the radio on. So
it's a teacher who made suggestions that we do have two-tier justice because of the jail term given to the woman who made that wholly unsupportable social media post during the Southport the Southport disturbances.
Yeah, so again, my point is, so people should absolutely be able to give their opinions.
Right.
Her opinion obviously was absolutely vile, and obviously something needed to be done about it. But
she's in jail for 31 months.
Yes, which is obviously very, very harsh. But there's opinions. But I think that my point is that there is a much bigger damage to society caused by lies and fake news. I mean, we have lies and fake news. We had it about the European Union. We had it about Brexit. We had it about climate change. We had it about vaccines. So many huge things that have real.
What were the lies about? What were the lies about vaccines?
Oh, you know, they're all the ones. Oh, I think they were. You know, there was the whole. There was stuff on social media about being. You know, there's graphene.
Oh, right. Yeah, the suggestion they were going to kill you. Or they were trying. Yes, I see what you're saying. Okay, Joe, thank you. Finishing with you, because I want to get back into this car mis-selling scandal. Stuart Gibbons, I bought a car this week. Sales tactics still focus you on your monthly payment amount, not the total amount or the APR. Terrible way to make financial decisions, and a load of ways to hide dodgy behaviour. Hopefully I got that right. Same subject. This comes in from Sean. I'm with a car dealer who's on. Cars were sold at a lower price. They made some money by commission instead. The people buy made a choice but take no ownership for their decisions. It's an example of a take society. James in Aylesbury. I have five confirmed DCA. That's that. You've done it to me again. I put the piece of paper away. That thing that... Why do I keep folding this piece of paper up? Discriminatory commission agreements. I have five DCAs. So looking forward to the payments, says James in Aylesbury. Keep us up to date with how you get on. Let's talk about that with Jeff in Chelmsford. Jeff, you are a car dealer. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, yes.
What's gone wrong here?
Right, so let me describe how the discretionary payments worked. The finance company used to give you a base rate. Let's say it was 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And a maximum rate of 20%. If you charge the customer 11%, you got a small commission.
I see.
If you charged the 20%, you got a larger commission, and the commission was a percentage of the interest.
Right. Nowadays, how much misrepresentation went on, do you think?
Well, I don't believe it was a misrepresentation, because...
Well, if you can get me money at 10%... Hold on. If you can get me money at 10%, Jeff, but you're charging me 15%, that's misrepresentation.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, the dealers didn't have to do it in those days. We do now. Now, the finance companies set the interest rates, not the dealers.
Right.
And the commissions nowadays, I'm still selling cars, and if we're lucky if we get a 95 quid commission on a £10,000 deal.
Hang on, you sell a car for £10,000, you get 95 quid commission?
On finance.
On finance? Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. From the finance company.
So how will this change the whole way of working?
Well, it's a lot better, because in the olden days, the customers were strapped up with such heavy finance costs, they couldn't come back and part exchange and do a deal because they was into so much money.
Mm.
Nowadays, the interest rates are about, depending on people's credit rating, about 8.9 APR to 10% APR.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, the dealer now has no control over what the finance is.
So it's safer and better.
A lot better, yeah. And what we do is we put it up to a brokerage company,
mm-hmm.
rather than deal direct with a finance company. They will check your credit rating out, and then they will find you the cheapest finance company.
That seems the best way of doing it. Jeff, thank you. We'll be a minute late to the news. I want to give 30 seconds or so to Robert in Brixton. Lord Kinnock's idea to lump VAT onto private medical insurance. Quick reaction from you, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Yeah, I think it's on parity with the VAT going on school fees, isn't it? It's a private service.
And do you think it's right?
Yeah, I think it is right. I think
so someone who can afford to take themselves off the lists?
Yes, exactly.
Why can that be fair?
Because it's a personal choice, isn't it? Same as sending your child to a private school.
Yeah, 50 schools have closed now. 50 private schools have closed. Do you see the improvement in the classrooms they promised?
No, but
that's the reality of it. Robert, thanks. At least we got one call in, and I'm grateful to you. I did say it could only be 30 seconds, and the music means we have to move on. In the first hour of the show, I spoke with the Minister for Border Security, Dame Angela Eagle, about an extra £100 million to be spent to try and tackle the problem of illegal immigration. So how's that partnership going with France over small boats?
If we fall out with the French and have a big row with them, then that's not going to make things better.
So in other news, sewage spills that mean half of Britons wouldn't dream of swimming in the sea. And the idea that a male contraceptive offers a so-called third way after early stage clinical trials. But come on, ladies, girls, would you trust your fella to take the pill? Those stories are more after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, drivers who had finance agreements before 2021 could receive a share of £18 billion in compensation. The Financial Conduct Authority has announced plans to set up a claims system after last week's Supreme Court ruling on mis-selling. Dean Dunham presents LBC's Consumer Hour. He's told Nick it involves a mechanism known as discretionary commission arrangements.
This is where the broker, which is basically the finance company, the dealership, increased the amount of interest they own without telling you and me as the buyer of the vehicle. And as a result, they received more commission as the interest rate went up. This applies to about 40% of these finance agreements. If you had one of these, there's going to be good news because you're almost certainly going to be entitled to a payout.
The scheme isn't as costly as feared, so shares in lenders like Lloyds and Close Brothers are up this morning. Gusts of up to 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of Britain. A yellow warning for wind is now in force, with a more severe amber alert due to take effect in Scotland from 10. Several rail routes will close from midday. A woman has been charged with murder after a three-year-old girl was found dead at a house in West Yorkshire. Police were called to a property in Leeds last Wednesday. 47-year-old Pippa McGrath is due to appear before magistrates later. A government minister's told Nick that efforts to cut small boat crossings of the English Channel are being turbocharged. The Home Office has announced another £100 million of funding to tackle the issue, with crossings at record levels so far in 2025. The Tories say the government is just tinkering at the edges, but the Border Security Minister, Dame Angela Eagle, has rejected that criticism.
We haven't got our border security bill yet, which gives us extra counter-terrorism style powers to disrupt and prevent. We've got an opposition, the Tory opposition and Reform, who've voted against that bill. It's being held up in the Lords at the moment. The sooner we get those extra powers, the sooner we can be more effective.
And England's cricketers need 35 more runs to secure a series victory over India. Poor light and rain brought an early end to day four of the fifth test at the Oval yesterday. The hosts are 339 for six in pursuit of 374. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was at 90.88. That's up 20. The pound buys $1.32 and the euro 14. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier from the west later. A high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning to you, 4 minutes after nine on Monday, the 4th of August. Coming up in this hour, we go back to the conversation the first hour. The government's found another £100 million to turbocharge our attempts to stop illegal immigration. We'll try and work through that and also remind you that we're spending just under half a billion pounds already for the French, which the government admits are doing absolutely nothing. In other news, a male contraceptive, so-called a third way, developed, shown to be safe in early-stage clinical trials. But ladies, women, girls, whatever you want to say, would you trust your bloke, your fella, to take that pill? Just take it on the night, or the morning for that matter. You have to have been taking it for some time. Could you trust them? And fancy a dip? No thank you, says more than half of Britons.
Government are ducking the responsibility in all of this, and for that they should ashamed. To a certain extent, I think Steve actually knows should consider his position.
Water campaigner, good friend to the show, Fergal Sharkey, calling Environmental Secretary Steve Reid to resign over the nation's sewage crisis.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
This headline does annoy me. Yvette Cooper to spend £100 million more to smash small boat gangs. It's not her money. It's our money, as is the near 500 million, otherwise known as half a billion pounds, that we've agreed to send to France under the previous administration, so that they would try and enforce their borders in France with more vigour. There is one, I repeat, one documented video of a French police officer, border force, border security, whatever they call them, slashing a rubber dinghy with a knife. The water has to be of a certain depth, or cannot be beyond a certain depth, because then there is risk, of course, of the people drowning. And if that happened, the police officer or officers would they find themselves in a lot of hot water. So what of this new £100 million of our money? Well, it's going to provide extra funding to crack down on small boat crossings and money to support the pilot of the one-in, one-out returns agreement. Yes, one in, one out. I remind you, yesterday, on one day alone, 879 people came here on one day. The trial, it is admittedly the trial, but the trial is going to allow for 50 a week. 25,000 a year, and this government spending £100 million of our money on a one-in, one-out, 50 a week? It was the Minister for Border Security, Dame Angela Eagle, who was on the round today for the government, talking about this crackdown. So I asked, how will the money be spent?
The money will be spent on turbocharging our intelligence and law response to the criminal gangs that are putting our border security at risk by sending these people across the channel. It will also be used to help fund the new agreement, returns agreement pilot with the French. We will also upgrade the way that we are dealing with illegal working in the country, so immigration enforcement can do more visits and arrest people who are working illegally, deport those that we find and fine employers who are abusing workers and employing them illegally. So it's an across-the-piece enforcement issue, and that's what the money's going to be spent on.
Fully on her brief? I did challenge her, so I feel comfortable saying that. Also, using this expression, turbocharge, this is like stop the boats, that idiotic suggestion by Rishi Sunak, smash the gangs, equally asinine suggestion by Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer. But let's stay with the interview with the government minister. So could she put a figure on how much money we've given to France to deal with the boats coming across the channel? Here was her response.
Well, again, the previous government did a deal, a three-year deal, which we're in the second year of, called the Sandhurst deal, which was half a billion pounds.
Yeah.
And
why haven't you cancelled it?
Well, because if we fall out with the French and we don't cooperate with the French in policing the borders, then more people will come across.
Well, how could it be any worse?
Well,
we're giving them money for
Nick,
nothing.
Nick, this is not true.
But what are they doing?
Nick, it's a very long border. They are now, thanks to us, changing their stance in the maritime area, so they will interdict in shallow waters, which they hadn't been allowed to do before now. This year so far, they have stopped over 13,000 people coming across with the work that they've done. So if we fall out with the French and have a big row with them, then that's not going to make things better.
So we let them take money for nothing.
It's highly likely to make things worse. We are cooperating with the French. We are dealing with financing things like their specialist police outfit, the company Demarche, which is much more effective than what was there before. We're already seeing an increase in interdictions.
Finally.
We are going to have to work with them to do our one-in, one-out pilot. Having a big row with them, Nick, isn't going to make things better. It will make things worse.
So we just keep paying them for no action. Not so much where eagles dare, where eagles plummet, that interview, wasn't it? Strange one. So there's that aspect to talk about. There's the fact that the boats keep on coming. There's the fact, of course, of the unrest over the weekend across much of the country at these so-called asylum-seeking hotels. And there's the fact of one particular area, Nuneaton in Warwickshire, where the local police force stands accused of not giving full information to the public over the arrest of two believed Afghan asylum seekers in connection with the rape and strangulation of a 12-year-old girl. It is the sort of thing you want to hear about, wouldn't it? This is what you had to say.
The key point to recognise is that the politicians are using all kinds of destructive mechanisms to alter the fact that there is a relatively simple solution, and that is for the French to control the sovereignty of their own territory.
Tony's in Wapping.
Why are all these people that are coming over on the boats all between 23 23 and 30. But if you're coming from a war-torn country, you'll be coming over with your family and bringing your family over as well with you,
yes.
Not just coming over on your own. And secondly, Nick, you know, why do they come here? Why don't they stop at the first safe country?
John's in Dover.
Let's not be too hypocritical in this country. If the situation was reversed and we had tens of thousands of migrants sitting on our beaches, then we would want them moving on pretty quickly ourselves. And and I think that to say anything other than that is hypocritical.
Let's pick up on what you have to say now. Jake's in Ashton. Jake, your reaction. Good morning.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on.
No problems.
So I guess, yeah, the immigration stuff, it's been something which it's on my mind a lot. And I guess I see so many of the perspectives. I see the perspective from a lot of, call them patriotic Brits, who sort of see the massive spending and the massive spending on hotels and the fact that actually it's easier often for asylum seekers to get benefits and whatnot when actually it feels like we as native Brits can't. But on the other side, I also see the importance of we're declining population. We do need to have some immigration and hopefully productive
stuff. Of course,
stuff.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about this yesterday. They were talking about it on Radio 4, how the gangs, they're businesses. And I was like, okay, well, how do we tackle it from a commercial perspective? And I genuinely think it might be interesting to explore doing some sort of scheme where rather than these illegal immigrants paying gangs 10 grand, I think that's numbers that I've heard per person, we get them to pay the UK 10 grand and we take them over and we use that money to, one, suck out capital from the actual gangs so that their business models can flop because people are going through the...
You're not saying the government will get involved in illegal activity, are you?
Well, I mean, obviously, there'd probably have to be some sort of change in regulation, but in the sense that we could potentially try to capture that fee, use that to then accelerate the process, and also take money away from the gangs who are profiting from it.
But they'll just charge eight, won't they? If I'm a people trafficker...
We can charge five, because at the moment we're spending money, aren't we?
I don't know that it's going to be quite... Do you think it's as economically simple as that? What do you think?
I mean, it was an idea. It was an idea. And I guess, ultimately, yes, they can charge five. They can charge, we're spending however much. So we've got money coming out. We've got backlogs. And it's like, even if we go, right, we'll do it for free. Just don't go to them. Let me ask you this. I think it might be...
Another £100 million we hear of today that will be spent. What level of comfort do you have that you think this will help address the issue? How much support?
I mean, to me, this is like you mentioned earlier. It's like smash the gangs.
It's just
nonsense. It's just emotive language, and it's just, I mean, the state of politics at the moment. Don't get me started on it. It's just incompetence. And
what do you think of the state of politics at the moment?
So look, Nick, mate, I'm 23, and I just. All of my life, we've had what, five Tory prime ministers. To be honest, I think Labour are doing a bit better at least on the international side with some of the there have been some positive.
They've done some good trade deals,
agreements.
Some tremendous trade deals with India. Yep, I give you that totally.
It's just like the integrity of the politicians at the moment, and I watch these House of Commons debates. It's literally like my school in year six science class.
Yeah.
Bickering at each other constantly. Tories did this, Labour. Just shut up. Just get the job done.
I have enjoyed talking to you, particularly the perspective of 23-year-old man. Jake, please stay in touch. I want to get your take on so many issues. Have yourself. Are you at work yet, by the way? Have you got a job yet, Jake, or are you still applying?
Yeah. So, I just finished my degree. I just did chemical engineering, but I've got first, literally just graduated.
And what are you going to do?
I've been working in tech for a few years. I've got my own sort of software business and whatnot, do a lot of stuff in AI and blockchain. So.
Brilliant. Well done. You sound a very, very bright young man. I wish you well with your business. Do stay in touch. I want to get the take of a 23-year-old man on as many things as I can. We'll come back to this conversation. Plus, how nearly half of us would never dream of having a dip in a sea or a river or a lake because of the sewage. We'll tell you more. It's just turned 9:16, LBC News headlines then. Thomas Watts.
Millions of drivers could receive hundreds of pounds each as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. Gusts of up to 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of the UK. And another £100 million is to go towards tackling small boat crossings of the English Channel. LBC weather, the strong winds and rain arriving with the storm turning drier from the west later, a high of 24 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 clockwise onto the QE2 bridge and then clockwise from Junction 2 at the A2 to Junction 3 at the M20, but all the lanes are now back open. In Euston, it's very busy on the Euston Road going westbound to Gordon Street, and that's because a car's broken down. In West Kensington, one lane's closed on the A4 Talgarth Road eastbound at Glidden Road, and that's where a car's broken down here as well. Now, also, the delays in Whiteleaf continue. West Hall Road is closed in both directions, and that's all down to an accident. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line, and on the trains, Thameslink services are delayed by about 20 minutes between Luton and St Pancras, and that's all down to a signal failure.
LBC.
Money Super 7, you've been saving people serious money, but they deserve even more. Can I count on you?
Always, boss. For a start, Money Supermarket give everyone a £15 reward just for switching their car insurance.
That's a very good start.
And that's on top of saving up to £469.
And when they keep on saving with us, we'll give them more and more rewards.
See how much you could save with Money Supermarket.
51% could save up to £469. Consumer Intelligence, June 2025. Rewards include gift cards, qualifying purchase with logged in account. 18 plus UK only. See site for T's and C's.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
At TfL, we're making tube journeys faster in the future with signalling improvements underway on the Circle, District, Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines. And there's also the Elizabeth line already giving you fast journeys across central London. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Elizabeth Line is fast compared to other TfL modes. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CNC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Global Player is home to fantastic podcasts like Rachel Johnson's Difficult Women.
Join me as I sit down with game-changing women who don't always play by the rules.
Everything was so great. I would say that once I looked on the stage and saw the Pope and the President kind of swaying to the black gospel choir that I was able to bring in, that's the moment that I was like, you know, you did this.
Plus, there is so much more. Global Player. Download it now for free.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Every which way you look, there are challenges, there are issues as regards uncontrolled immigration or migration into this country. We've just heard another £100 million. Yvette Cooper's £100 million. No, it's not Yvette Cooper's £100 million. It's yours, it's my £100 million. And how well will it be spent? Ties in Clapham, thanks for being on the line. Good to hear you again. Your take on this. Good morning.
Good morning,
hello,
Mr.
sir.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to hear your voice on again.
Now, you see, I'm greatly saddened because I'm a Labour Party supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, those present people in the government, they've been in office for a year, but they're grossly incompetent. And
right.
The presentation is awful.
I agree with
and
that bit.
Mm. That 23 years old stole my thunder when he described how they behave, like the kids in the classroom.
Mm.
Now, what happened is this. They're throwing good money after a bad scheme. Now, the terminus of the people coming into this country start from Libya. From Libya, they go to Morocco.
Not all are Libyan, of course.
I'm not saying they're Libyan. That is from African country. The Libya is the gateway. So, because I spoke to two people who are part of those people, they live in Nottinghamshire, and I said, how did you get in? And they told me they traveled to Libya. Then
right.
From Libya, they go by sea to Morocco.
Not to Italy, right, okay.
Yeah, not to Italy. From Morocco, then they said they pass Greece and Italy.
That's
on the way. They
way
just
round.
Wave them to go on. Now, what happened is this. Now,
that's
when they then reach this country, as long as they tell them that they're going to England, they just let them go from Greece.
Right.
Now, what then happened here is this. We're supposed to be dealing with Libya. Obviously, we destroyed Libya. And we can deal with Morocco as the Italian deed. Italian have is
the returns deal where they pay per head, yes.
Exactly. With so Algeria that's what we're supposed to do. Algeria, Morocco, and Libya, those are the people they're supposed to be dealing with. No.
So what you're saying is, and off the top of my head, I'm going to say I think it's 5,000 euros a head that Italy will pay Morocco and Algeria. You think we should explore something like that?
That is the only thing that can work. The simple reason is this. Okay, you forgot to pay £54 million just last year, this Labour government, plus this £100 million and the £500 million they paid before.
Yes.
So we're wasting money. All we're doing is France is just they come via France.
Well, they do, but as you rightly said, sir, they also come via Italy, and they work their way up through Italy, and they try and get across the border, and if they succeed, then they're up to France, because I would argue two things. Language, and there's nothing we can do about that. They're watching British and American, well, probably American TV shows, and they're listening to rock music. But the pull factor. Ty, always good to hear from you. Ian, you'll be the next caller on that in a moment, but I want to make sure we give you as wide a brief as we can in the morning before you go off to your daily labours or possibly retire after your nightly labours. And would you fancy a dip in the sea? Or a river or lake at the moment. No, I don't blame you, neither would I. So I do have a boat that I sometimes take on a river, and I might try and make sure that we never get any water on board, ingest it in any way. Now nearly half of Britons are saying they wouldn't swim in the sea amid fears of sewage. 44% say they'd never swim in the British Sea during the summer. It's a jump from previous 2 years. One in five, though, would say they would take a dip if the government met its target of halving sewage spills. This research, I should tell you, was done by the Liberal Democrats. Here's Laura Reinecker, who's chief executive of Friends of the Thames and founder of the Henley Mermaids, an open water swimming group. And I think I've spoken... Are you the mermaid with whom I've spoken in the past, or are you a new mermaid on the watch?
No, I am the one you've spoken to.
You're my resident mermaid up in Henley. Well, no surprise here. How are the mermaids getting on?
Yeah, all good. I'm just in the final throes of training for Catalina Channel, so I actually was in the sea for 5 hours yesterday.
Good grief. You mean... the channel? Well, sorry, which sea were you in?
No, I was down in Bournemouth.
Wow.
Yesterday, yeah.
How many miles do you cover over 5 hours?
Well, not very much yesterday because it was so rough. I think I did more mileage up and down over the waves than I did going forward. About 12 kilometres, a bit more maybe.
Tell me, we'll talk about this research in a moment from the Lib Dems. The Catalina, what is it? The Catalina Challenge, did you
Catalina
say?
Catalina Channel. It's Santa Catalina Island over to the mainland in Los Angeles. And it's the third in the Triple Crown of marathon swims, which includes English Channel, which I did a couple of years ago, and circumnavigation of Manhattan Island that I did last year.
Hang on. You swam around Manhattan. I used to live on that. You swam around Manhattan Island.
Yeah.
How many miles is that?
50K.
Oh, 20, high 20s, something like that, I guess. Something like, how long did that take?
50 kilometres. It took 9 hours, 15 minutes. It's kind of tidally assisted.
So if you catch it at the right moment, you do get a little bit of help.
Yeah, there's a bit in the middle where you don't. But yes, you get a... Yeah, because normally 50 kilometres would take longer than 9 hours, 15
minutes. Can I ask you a question, Laura, if I may call you that?
Yeah.
Is it still for fun you do it? Is it almost like a... do you still get enjoyment, or is it now more like a challenge? And I don't take this the wrong word. This is in quotes, almost form of an addiction.
Oh, yes, it totally is. It's more an addiction. So I don't do it... It is a personal challenge, obviously, but I'm doing it now to raise awareness into all the threats all our waterways face. So, for instance, when I swam Robben Island, it was getting out to the island, we saw three whales, two of which were caught in fishing nets. And then there, of course, you have a major problem with overfishing, so that the great whites have left. And, it's really interesting. And I think it's a really good way of connecting people back to their waterway. And this is the problem, and brings us back to this article today about people not swimming. We cannot let this stop us swimming, but I can totally see why they don't. I mean, it is just disgusting that we are using our waterways as open sewers. And of course, for us, sewage is the worst thing. But actually, for the wildlife, it's the chemicals that are the worst thing. I'm part of a study with Imperial College with Professor Leon Baron on open water swimmers' exposure to chemicals that are in the waterway. So we're just in the middle of that, and those results will be fascinating.
So what are they taking blood off you? What are they doing?
Yeah, blood, and then we take water samples when we swim. But I know you are completely on side with all of this,
yeah,
but nothing is actually going to change while the water companies are privately owned. We cannot see any change while still up to 50% of our bills are going towards servicing their debt, especially Thames Water.
What do you see as a solution? We need to take it back into public ownership. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. But not run by the government. I know you've spoken to Professor Ewan McGaughey, haven't you? He's a very clever man. He's written lots of papers on it. I think it has to be in a not-for-profit model run by elected members or ecologists.
But that's what they've got in Wales, and that's not working either, Laura.
Oh, do you know what? It is so difficult.
What's American water like? When you go and swim around Manhattan, because I've never spoken to a New Yorker about her water supply. Is their water quality quite good over there?
It wasn't too bad. You go up the Harlem River first. That tasted a bit fishy. It was horrible. And I was sick for 6 hours anyway, so that wasn't terribly nice.
What, while you're swimming?
Yeah. And then you have the...
You ever heard of a pool?
Sorry?
You ever heard of a swimming pool?
Oh, I can't bear swimming pools. Don't like chlorine.
No, better to swim in sewage.
Well, yeah, maybe. I love the connection to nature, and I think actually it has to be... We have to have a multi-pronged approach.
Right.
We have to use.
I always get nervous when I hear that because that makes you sound like a politician. It's multifaceted.
Oh God,
or,
no, I'm not.
Yeah, we must listen with our partners and all. And I never understand what the hell's going on here. But anyway,
We need all the water companies to be brought back into public ownership, not for profit model. We need people. We need to reconnect everybody back to their blue spaces so that they see them as part of their lives and therefore care for them. We have a shared responsibility at this point. You know. For instance, the chemicals that are in the waterway, that would be solved if the pharmaceutical companies put an element into those tablets that meant they broke down in the sewage system. But they don't, because it costs money. Mm. And then the water companies haven't put any investment into their tertiary cleaning. So all of the pathogens, recreational drugs, pharmaceuticals are flowing into our waterways 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Lastly, tell me about this Catalina. What was it? Challenge?
Catalina Channel. Yes.
Channel. Sorry. How many miles, kilometres is that?
It's 21 miles and could be a 20-hour swim.
And typically, what's the English Channel? Because that's about the same.
The English Channel's 21 miles, and I did that in 15 hours 23 minutes.
How do you stay awake? Well, I suppose if you don't, you drown.
Well, weirdly, I kind of sleep swim sometimes. So I often swim with my eyes closed, and then. You have a boat. You have safety boat because it's probably obviously tight. So you on your breath, you look. You kind of half open one eye and check it's still there.
But aren't you worried about getting stuff? I'll be polite. In your eye. I mean, you must have had stuff in your eyes and your ears.
I wear earplugs. So channel swimming rules to get a ratified channel swim. You're only allowed to wear your swimming costume, goggles, hat, and earplugs. Oh, and you have to have little lights because generally it's through the night as well. So very strict rules. So you don't get things in your eye, really, or your ears.
You
but
don't. Okay.
I have seen quite a lot of wildlife. In fact, when I swam the channel, I saw a very sad sight of an immigrant dinghy.
Overturned.
No, they were all on it, and the French Coast Guards were leading them into British waters. But that,
maybe you're the solution. If you can go for 20, could you carry a knife between your teeth and you could swim alongside, and as long as they're still in French water, what do you do to relax?
What you mean in general day?
Yeah, I mean, this sounds brutal, grueling. Do you read a book, or do you walk a dog, or are you an opera singer? What do you do to relax?
That's funny.
Watch
I've got
cricket.
Two dogs,
pardon?
Yeah. I tell you what I'm doing at the moment is I'm listening on audiobook to Robert McFarlane's Is a River Alive and walking the dogs and picking blackberries. That's my hour of heaven in the day.
Well, don't get in a jam as you're picking your blackberries. Great speaking with you. Safe swimming. Let us know how you get on. I always enjoy speaking with Laura Reinecke. Chief Executive of Friends of the Thames and my favourite, Henley Mermaid. It's 9.30. This is Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara on LBC. News time, Thomas Watts.
An amber warning for wind will come into force across much of Scotland in half an hour's time. Rail passengers have been told not to travel north of Preston or Newcastle because of the impact of Storm Floris. Compensation payments for missold motor finance are expected to be in the hundreds rather than thousands of pounds. About 4 in 10 drivers who had finance agreements before 2021 could be eligible. Two people have been charged with murder after a man was stabbed in New Cross in southeast London. Ayoale Alagenya died at the scene of the attack on Saturday evening. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, then turning drier with sunny spells later on. A high of 24 degrees.
This is LBC.
This is Go.Compare FM reporting from Savvy Street, where mysterious moustaches are appearing on residents' faces. So, your tash, where did it come from?
I was sorting out my car insurance at Go.Compare and it appeared out of nowhere.
Madam, your moustache is magnificent.
I packed a great deal on home insurance and this savvy tash grew on me.
And resident cat, your whiskers have gone from meh to marvellous. How? Could have explained your pet insurance deal better myself. Britain, get in on the tash action. Be savvy. Fill the deal at
Go.Compare.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quarter Pillar, Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot, Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom, Go Karts, Wave Runner 2, Magical Wood, and Cafe.
Nutcatch Adventure Park.
The sun goes on and on and on and on.
Book now at nutcatch.com.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour.
Mm.
It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
An interesting diversion about our waterways, and what an extraordinary story. That young woman swimming from the United Kingdom, from England to France, and a boat going the other way. So let's pick up on that. Those boats and other forms, of course, of immigration that's not being checked. Ian in Newtownards. What are you going to tell me, Ian? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Hello, sir.
Ms. Eagle was at pains, or wanted to try and make things out. Well, okay, if you give her that title, I call her Ms. She wanted to make an excuse in that there's a long coastline to France. Well, yes, it may have its long coastline, but it's not every inch of that or mile of that coastline is suitable to launch these dinghies from. So that's the first point we'd put her up
should
on.
Should the French be doing more?
Of course they should. I mean, I said whenever James Cleverly was going over about a year and a half, 2 years ago, to give them extra money, that I questioned the status of our allegiance with France, in that, you know, if you have France as an ally, who needs enemies, for goodness sake? It's ridiculous.
What should happen now as regards... There's still about, what have we got, over 100, probably about £150 million, supposedly, to go. Should we just cancel that?
I think we should. I think we should buck them out of 3-star and 4-star hotels and put them into military airfields and a tented village. I have a very good friend who is an immigration officer of some standing within that profession. He has done secondments with France, Italy and Germany, and he says, we are a laughing stock. We hand them everything that we can give them, and the French would barely give them a meal. I mean, I would question international law and maritime law in that if it is so imposable on the UK to safeguard people's rights in the water whenever they come onto the British side of the channel, why is it not imposable on the French to make sure that they don't allow these unsafe dinghies with these poor critters on board, maybe without life jackets, entering the water in the first place?
If I were to say to you that the French have a long history of kind of recognising the laws that suit them and perhaps ignoring ones that don't, is that a fair comment, or do you think I'm being a little unfair to the French there?
Oh, no, I would totally agree with you. Mm. I mean, when Macron was over for his state visit, shall we call it, I suppose officially
it was a state visit. It was, yeah, absolutely it was.
Yeah, okay. We had the King coming out and
talking about France as our allies. We had Mr. Starmer coming out and talk. I know you'll call him sir. I refer to him as Mr.
Okay,
referring to the French and really super turbocharging the fact that they are our apparent allies. And this is the way they are treating us. We have Ms. Eagle now talking about, let's not upset the French because, you know, that might be sad.
That was extraordinary. Ian, thank you. Elias, coming to you. Thank you for holding. Elias, coming to you. Let's get some of the social media and texts that are coming in. John says, very vague answers by the government. Employers who employ illegals should not be fined, but locked up and their assets forfeited. That's what they would worry about. Gary says, Macron is no friend to the UK. If he said return any migrants that have crossed on boats from now, that would stop the trade in small boat crossings immediately. He won't do it. Well, he won't, and he won't accept them. Graham in Bushy, if the cover-up of the nationalities of the migrants and asylum seekers arrests the new Grayming Gang's cover-up, as the authorities don't want to inflame community tensions. That was the line given by Warwickshire Police to the local authority, which is a reformed UK-led, by the way. They've written to the Home Secretary, and you heard the national lead for police commissioners, Commissioner down in Hampshire, say that information should be. Of course it should. You're not going to prevent another Southport because rumours will spread. Whereas if you say the reality, which in Southport was that it was he was British born, well, you're halfway to hopefully solving the problem. Elias in High Wycombe. You're on the radio, Elias. Good morning.
Yeah, hello there. Hello. I mean, as you know, this immigration thing has been going on for such a long time. It's like hamsters going round and round. But surely, I mean, I've mentioned this to you again. I spoke to you in the past, and all I could do is repeat myself.
Right.
Because the only way to stop it is make the world a fairer place. How come nobody wants to address that? It's no use.
Sorry, did you say the Royal Air Force?
No, sorry. making it the world a fairer place to live in. You can't have
make
one
the world. I'm so sorry. I thought you said something about the Air Force. What do you mean by make the world a safer place, a fairer place?
Well, it's too unbalanced. Okay, if you look at all these countries got exploited, okay, and they're still getting exploited today because all the minerals are going out, are coming to Europe or America, etc. Okay, so unless these things, most of these countries, they have minerals in their land. They're not poor countries. Okay, where does all this money go? To Europe. And then you moans about the immigrants. You can't have it both ways.
Right. What does Britain do as regards that then, Elias?
Britain, okay, first of all, if you look at slavery for all the millions and trillions of pounds that they stole and murdered millions of people on top of that, slavery's never gone away because lots of the mineral, because Britain...
What do you mean slavery's never gone away?
Well, it's never gone away because they're just playing the game different. The land, the minerals, the wealth in the land.
What land and what minerals? You've got to nail this down, Elias. This is rambling. Okay. Tell me the land. Which countries are you talking about?
Okay, off the top of my head, okay, because I know how you patronise everyone who comes on the radio, okay? So I don't really want to get involved in these
things. No. Elias, if you say things like slavery is still going on, I'm going to ask you where and by what and minerals. I need to know roughly. I don't expect you to give me the composition of it or the mineral chart, but just roughly, where are we talking?
Last time I spoke to you, I think you said like Albania. What has Britain done?
No, I'm asking you, where is this exploitation going on?
It's going all the whole.
No, okay, this is the third and final time. Can you please point me in the direction of a country you're speaking of?
No.
Okay, well, thank you. I mean... Okay, Elias, thank you for your input. Let's agree to disagree agreeably. Because you come on and make these claims, and I ask three times, where are the countries in the world? What are the minerals? And you admit you don't know. Okay, let's move on. Gary's in Glossop. Gary, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Lovely to speak to you.
Good to have you on, sir.
Listen, these 25,000 people that have come across, can you just enlighten me to how many more immigration officers and what they call it, border force people they've employed now to cope with this immigration?
300 more will now be employed as a result of this £100 million. So that's 300 more people who will just wave at them as they arrive and give them a railway ticket to Croydon.
And the other thing, repeatedly I keep hearing on the radio, they're paying hundreds of thousands of pounds to come to this country. Why don't they go to Dubai or Geneva?
You know, they won't get in. Gary, that's the reality, because Dubai, and I mean, this is by virtue or dint of being an island, of course, that we have these issues, but they won't manage to get to Dubai, and they won't certainly won't manage to get to Switzerland, because there's not a lot of water around Switzerland.
Okay. Right. Just before we go, can I solve the water shortage for you?
Go on, Gary.
Right. Well, Trump's saying drill, drill, baby, drill. Yeah. Let's drill for water near reservoirs and pump the reservoirs up with what they call it?
It's not so much quantity at the moment, is it, Gary? It's quality that people are concerned about. That's the reality.
Well, they do it in Australia and other countries. It's quite drinkable, you know, the water they can get up.
Yes. I think what the water concerns at the moment are is that just almost half of people in this country wouldn't dream of having a dip in the sea, and I can't really blame them. Gary, thank you. You mentioned Australia. That's where the next call's coming in from. Tim's in Melbourne. Tim, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I've got a way where you, your producer Lily, and I can make 5% each in the cost savings of this ridiculous problem. Okay,
so let's do it.
So your producer needs to first of all add up what it's costing Britain, and we'll trust her numbers. And it's 5% to use.
I don't know if I trust her numbers.
Here we go, Nick.
Here we go. Stand by.
Right. First thing you do is you don't pay any more money to France in respect of this matter.
I'm with you. Stops tomorrow. Done.
Secondly, you let the French know that any French vessels seen escorting the migrants across will be treated as an act of war, and they'll be responded to accordingly with military force.
No, we can't stop.
Yes, you can, Nick, because it's just not good enough. The third thing you do is you tow the boats back into French water, give them all a life jacket for the people in the boats, and give them a slow leak and point them in back to the French coast.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that works.
Yeah. Now, why is it that Australians have a reputation of being fairly robust and harsh? We can't start firing on French naval vessels, Tim.
Well, if they're bringing illegal aliens into your waters, that's an invasion. It's got to stop.
And when we start killing French sailors, you don't have to kill them. Well, if you fire on a ship, you don't know where the bomb's going to land. You could easily kill somebody.
Unlikely, Nick. The French have a habit of turning and running. You know, over the last 300 or 400 years, whenever have they stood?
Okay. They would argue that they've been fairly brave at certain times, and there are other battles where they fought to the last man. Tim, it's a view. I'm going to file that as it's a view, and I'm grateful to you. Look after yourself down under. Don't know that that's a wizard from Oz, to be honest. Now, Sam is in Islington, and we just started our conversation when I had to let him go because of the government minister. So I'm very pleased to get you back. I do apologise. Just outline roughly where we were and the more you want to say.
Oh, hi, Nick. Good morning. So essentially, we spoke 10 years ago.
We did.
When it all began with the migrants or refugees coming across Europe.
And you correctly predicted where we find ourselves now.
Yes. And I think what I didn't predict and where I think it's got to, which I think is absolutely shocking, is the fact that we're putting up these migrants in quality accommodation. But putting that to one side, I think there's a wider situation going on that no one is thinking of, which, I mean, my question to you is, how many people are in our British Army today and acting serving personnel?
70 something thousand. I don't know the second figure. Fewer than the attendants at Twickenham, that much I know. So 70,000.
Okay, so it's just over 100,000.
No, it's not.
And
the British Army, did you say, or military?
Yeah, the British Army personnel. It's just over 100,000.
Well, you're probably including reserves, obviously, I would imagine, then.
Okay, so let's include reserves.
Okay.
Now, if you look at the quality of people that are coming across, not necessarily quality, but the age of the category of people, the majority, excluding children and women, are of fighting age, as we've all talked about. I actually feel that there is almost a silent army coming into this country that are essentially with criminal backgrounds, whether it's
Where we go, because the army makes them sound like they're one to invade us, and while some of them might have it in their heart, I refuse to believe that all 25,000 want to take the country over. So what is the point we're trying to get at?
Well, it's 37,000 in the last year, but putting that to one side, ultimately you've got a demographic or of people coming into the country that don't share the British values.
Well, some don't.
The biggest challenge is that we are in a lawless Britain at the moment, and you could literally get away with anything at the moment, whether it's low level or high level.
Okay. Well, why are our prisons full? But I don't see what the point is you're making. Sorry, let's go. So
you've told me that, by the way, I've checked the
figures. There's 73,000 in the regular. There's 108,000 when you include the reserves. So we're both right. What do we do with these men and women?
So the truth is, we have to do. I would copy what Donald Trump has done in Alligator Alcatraz. We built a hospital during COVID within how long? How long did that take?
I don't know, a couple of weeks.
They turned it around so quickly, right? We could create the same thing, and instead of putting them up in luxury accommodation in all of our hotels, that is upsetting a lot of Britain. We actually create a place for them, and we do proper diligent checks in which we can determine whether they're going to add value or not.
So lastly, for the purpose of debate, we take an island somewhere, or we take disused military camps, and we have the army build centres, detention centres, or whatever, as these people are processed. That's roughly what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Got it. OK. Let's see if others agree. I'm glad we got you back. 9:46, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Gusts of 85 miles per hour are forecast as Storm Floris arrives in northern parts of the UK. Drivers who had finance agreements before 2021 could receive a share of £18 billion in compensation. And ministers have announced another £100 million to tackle migrant crossings of the English Channel. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier from the west later, a high of 24 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne, where one lane's closed on the M20 eastbound just before Junction 8 at Leeds Castle. A car's broken down. It's actually in the Operation Brock area, so that's obviously adding to those delays. Very busy in Euston on the Euston Road, westbound to Gordon Street, and that's because a car's broken down. In Whiteleaf, West Hall Road stays closed in both directions, and that's all down to an accident. On the train, southern services are delayed between London Bridge and South Croydon, and also between Clapham Junction and South Croydon. It's all down to a signal failure. Link services are still delayed southbound between Luton and St Pancras. That's also down to a signal failure. And on the underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line, but that's because of a shortage of trains.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Another day, another doozy. This time, ID cards are mooted as the answer to almost all our problems.
James O'Brien on LBC.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345-6060-973, LBC.
Canal Adventures in St Pancras.
That's a new one for us.
Oh, kids, cafe's this way.
Oh, eat your heart out, Venice. This is lovely.
What's that?
Yes, I have both captain hats for the boat ride.
Train back. So that was two pastries, one boat ride, and no tantrums. Result! Love this shot of them driving the boat.
Download the Thameslink Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story. Terms apply. See our website for full details.
Calling all little explorers. The hunt for squishmallows is on. Who will your little one find in their Happy Meal? Will they chill out with Cam on the beach? Or rock on with Hallie? Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal.
Until the 25th of August, from 11 a.m, Squishmallows comprise toys only. Subject to availability. Fair ordering policy applies.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix. By delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house,
and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly.
To Britain, we must say, Have you had your Weetabix?
So, where are we going?
You wanted to try something new? Well, we're here.
The Hyundai Electrifying Summer Event.
I booked a test drive in the all-new Insta online. It's the 2025 World Electric Vehicle winner, and we save £500 if we order before the 31st of August.
Ooh, very stylish.
Oh, and it's Hyundai, by the way.
The Hyundai Electrifying Summer Event. Are you in? 18 plus UK retail customers only. Excludes Motability. Registered by 30th of September. T's and C's apply.
Bring your pensions together with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's have a complete change of tack. Calling ladies, girls, women, whichever you prefer. Would you trust your bloke, your fella, to take a male contraceptive pill? The new pill has been shown to be safe in what are called early stage clinical trials. 16 volunteers stepped forward. It's a hormone-free pill. It works by reversibly decreasing the sperm count. Previous attempts to create a male contraceptive have largely failed owing to side effects. Women, of course, as you will be aware, have several contraceptive options, including the pill, IUD, the diaphragm, the hormonal patch, the female condom, and tubal ligation, it says here, but many have unappealing side effects. For men, the choice has, of course, been limited to condoms or a vasectomy. But would you trust your fellow with the pill? Joyce Harper is a professor of reproductive sciences at the Institute for Women's Health at University College London. Joins me now. Professor, thank you for your time this morning. Can I ask initially, how does it work with the fella? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think for men, this is going to be a huge game changer. I have three grown-up sons.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel quite vulnerable, relying on the women saying to them, oh, yes, we're on the pill, or yep, it's okay in the heat of the moment. And they would like control over their fertility, yep, as well. So they're really welcoming this, for sure. And I think for women, you mentioned the contraceptives that we have the option, but a lot of them do have side effects, and the very effective ones, such as the hormonal ones, they have a lot of side effects for women, and there's a lot of controversy about the contraceptive pill at the moment. So for women in a long-term relationship, having the option of your partner taking a pill, I think, would be welcomed by a lot of women.
Professor, how is a man's sperm reversibly decreased? What's going on in me? What's happening?
I haven't heard about this one yet.
I just called
a few minutes ago, and I've just tried to do a check, and I couldn't even find about it. The ones that were out before that they were developing a few years ago were hormonal, and as you said, there were some side effects. But interestingly, the side effects were a lot less than a woman would have.
Why would that be?
On the hormone contraceptive. All things like hormones are very, very powerful in our body.
I've had teenagers tell me about it.
Yes, you know, yeah. And a menopausal woman would tell you the same.
Oh, God, who's been talking?
And so increasing the amounts that you would normally do for a male or female contraceptive pill or injection or whatever would definitely have side effects. So for the men, the contraception that they were developing a few years ago, the side effects were very, very small compared to a female pill, but the men were complaining, which we all found quite amusing, but actually that's not a very long list, but anyway, so this is good news for this new method,
okay,
to be non-hormonal and with less side effects. That will keep men a bit happier, I think.
Joyce, if I may call you Joyce, I hope I can.
Yes.
There aren't enough Joyces on this, because my late mother was called Joyce. So there aren't enough Joyces on this planet. Joyce, the last question is one really that comes down to trust. Do you think I suppose women would feel as safe as a woman saying you've taken the pill. I'm just wondering, would a woman, if the bloke says yes, because you need to take it continually, don't you? It's not like a condom. You don't take it like, you know, yeah, an hour before or whatever it might be. So you need to have been on it all the time. And as to use your rather nice expression, Joyce, you get to the heat of the moment and the girl says, yes, to the boy, you are, yes, of course I'm on the pill. Yes, of course I'm on the pill. Would you trust him?
I think women would. Listen, the guys don't want to get the woman pregnant either. So what would be in it for them to lie about it?
And I, well, it's getting pretty hot in the heat of the moment. That's what's in it for them.
True. true.
I mean, we're yes, talking 35 degrees, 42 degrees here. This is the heat of the moment. This is like Dubai.
But I really think, I certainly with me, with my previous partners, I would absolutely have trusted them. And I think maybe not 100% of women will. And if it's a one-night stand, then no.
Absolutely.
Way, no.
Just say no.
For a long-term relationship. Yeah, for a long-term relationship, I think absolutely. It's just great to have another choice.
Agree with you. Joyce, thank you. Lovely speaking with you. Best wishes to your family. Joyce Harper, Professor of Reproductive Science at the Institute for Women's Health, University College London. Let's pick up on that. Obviously, I'd like to hear from you ladies, but I think Charlie's in... Well, I know Charlie's in Clitheroe. Hello, Charlie. Are you Charlie with a Y or Charlie IE? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. It's Charlie with an IE.
Yes, okay, sir. Come on. You're not. Tell me what I need to hear. Come on.
Right, I agree with Joyce. I think it puts the control back in the gentleman's court.
Right.
I'm a gentleman of a certain age. I'm 66.
Oh, right. Nothing wrong with that kind of age.
and back in... I wasn't promiscuous. I've had three long-term relationships in my life.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But as a young boy, I think...
Did you used to patrol the pubs and clubs of Clitheroe, Charlie?
Yeah, I've been in, yes.
Yeah. Were you the Clitheroe kid? Do you know what the Clitheroe kid is? Do you even know what I mean by that?
Well... I'll tell you.
Oh, you do.
Of
remember.
Course I do.
Okay.
After the Mike Sam singers,
right.
We used to sit down and listen to the Clitheroe Kid on the radio with my mother, and I think it must have been about
on a Sunday afternoon.
That's it.
Yeah, on a
and
Sunday.
And they repeated it in the evening.
Yeah, I know. We are of a certain vintage. So let's take you back. Let's take you back 45, 50 years, and you're dating. You know, you're in a relationship with. I think you said you've had three main relationships. You think the girlfriend or the wives would have trusted you and said, yeah, okay, Charlie, you take responsibility because the side effects are going to be so more minimal compared to you.
Well, of course. My first child, my son, I love dearly, and I've got a grandchild with him, was actually the typical story that my friend had a lodger who got thrown out and I put her up.
Hold on.
And one thing led to another.
Hang on. So this very attractive young woman gets thrown out from lodgings and she comes and stays with you?
Indeed.
In Clitheroe?
No. I actually lived in Padiham at the time, which is very close.
Right. And one thing led to another?
And I believe that she was 18 years of age.
Oh, God, where's this going?
When actually we fell pregnant, she was 16.
Right.
So I did the right thing. We got married.
How old were you?
I was 19, 20.
Right.
19 or 20.
Okay.
20, I think I was, yeah.
Oh, this is about as close as you want to get, isn't it? And the marriage survived?
No. Oh, it didn't. It went 7 years. Seven-year cycle. And
the seven-year itch.
And then she chose another partner and moved on. Me and my son have got a great relationship, and the grandson is, you know, so...
Well, tune in tomorrow for the next part of Charlie's Love Life from Clitheroe. I have to end it there. Although James O'Brien is as livid as anybody that we can't find out your second partner. That's for tomorrow. Charlie, love to your son, love to all the family. Thanks for being such a good sport. Look after yourself. I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news on LBC. I'll be there tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. I think you might have just filled the gap created by the cancellation of Neighbours. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and it's a bit of a hardy perennial, isn't it, the question of ID cards, digital ID cards. It is Tony Blair who is championing them this time round. In fact, two former Labour leaders providing fairly strong suggestions on what the current Labour leader should be doing, and certainly in Tony Blair's case, Keir Starmer appears to be receptive. I want you to think about this, because in your pocket right now, or certainly in your possession at the moment, there are loads of things that determine and define your identification. So why on earth wouldn't we go all in on a national digital ID card?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
from Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. An amber danger to life weather warning has just come into force across much of Scotland. Storm Floris is expected to bring very strong winds and heavy rain with severe travel disruption expected. Some rail operators are advising passengers not to travel at all. Forecaster Joe Wheeler says gusts could reach 85 miles per hour.
Of course, it's the Edinburgh Fringe at the moment as well. So people giving out leaflets might find they get distributed rather faster than they thought. But also, of course, it's a time where we've got a lot of holiday makers. People really need to be prepared because it won't be a day for going rambling.
A yellow warning is in place across a wider area of Northern England, North Wales and Northern Ireland. The Conservatives say the latest announcement on tackling English Channel migration is just tinkering at the edges. A further £100 million will support the pilot of the one-in, one-out returns deal with France. It'll also pay for hundreds more National Crime Agency officers. Shadow Treasury Minister James Wilde has told LBC it won't make a fundamental difference.
It's all very well putting more money into technology, doing a bit more with France, which could make a difference at the margin. But fundamentally, the numbers show that unless you've got a deterrent, which was in place, hadn't been put into proper effect, but it was there and ready, which the Labour government decided to stop, then you're not going to stop the people coming.
A 21-year-old man has been charged with the murder of a Saudi student in Cambridge. Mohammed Al-Ghassim, who was on a 10-week language placement, was stabbed on Friday night. Chas Corrigan is due to appear at Peterborough Magistrates Court today. Millions of drivers could receive hundreds of pounds each as part of a motor finance compensation scheme. The Financial Conduct Authority is to consult on a claims system following Friday's ruling in the Supreme Court. And the final test between England and India is on a knife edge, heading into the last day of the series. The hosts need 35 more runs to win at the Oval, with India requiring 4 wickets. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was at 90.88. That's up 20. The pound buys $1.32 and a euro 14. LBC weather, very strong winds and heavy rain from the storm, turning drier with sunny spells. Moving in from the west later, a high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search "Don't Get Caught Out".
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Very good morning to you. It is 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If I say ID cards, who thinks of Gordon Jackson? It's very much an age-based association there. And of course, it wasn't ID cards that did for him. It was the wily Gestapo officer who said good luck to him in English after he had passed himself off as a German quite perfectly, but whose guard temporarily slipped in one of the closing scenes of The Great Escape, and the Gestapo officer said, good luck, and Gordon Jackson's character said, thank you very much. He's Scottish, by the way. and he got caught as a consequence of that. And I only mention it because whenever I've turned my attention to ID cards in the past, digital ID cards, I've often found myself thinking of The Great Escape. Probably the first time as a kid that I became conscious of the practice of being asked to produce your papers on pain of punishment. Papers, please. Papers, please. I won't do a German accent. But papers, please, would be the instruction that you received. That's what we saw on The Great Escape. And I thought, oh, I don't want to be like that, because I don't want to be like the Nazis, which is a fairly good rule in life, isn't it? Be less Nazi. And yet, ID cards, I don't think, can be exclusively associated with that particular regime. Why are they in the news today? I will tell you. Keir Starmer is looking into the idea of what the Daily Mail describes as Blair-style ID cards. And they describe it as one way of fighting illegal immigration, which does seem to be exercising much of the chattering classes at the moment. The Prime Minister is said to have become convinced by the benefits. The Cabinet appears to be in agreement. Number 10 is now working on the idea, the Observer reported yesterday, which, by the way, has become a cracking read. It was a good read before, don't get me wrong, but it's a very different organ now, the Observer. I don't know if you've cast an eye over it. Power of newspapers is very, very much on the wane. But if you enjoy nice, sort of informative reads, the Observer's getting something right. And it was in that newspaper yesterday that the report of an imminent rollout, or a possible rollout, was reported, with the objections being, I love this phrase, practical rather than philosophical. So the current problems with introducing it would involve practicalities as opposed to philosophies. I want to talk about the philosophical element of it, and I want to do it as fully and frankly as possible. I genuinely want to know, early doors, why you have a problem with this idea. 0345 60 60 973. Here are some things you currently have. Probably you probably have a national insurance number, right? You do have a national insurance number. You probably have an NHS number, right? You probably have your address, if you have bothered to insure, on the electoral register at the moment, so they know who you are, how you are, and where you are. That was quite pithy, wasn't it? Who you are, how you are, and where you are. What else have we got? You've probably got a passport, although, were we conducting this conversation in the United States of America, that would be much less of a presumption. And, of course, in socioeconomic and generational terms, you're less likely to have a passport if you are from a poorer background or if you are younger. You might also have a driving license, which is, of course, another form of photo ID. So what have we got so far? We've got national insurance number, we've got NHS number, we've got electoral register, we've got driving license. Anything else on that list? Don't ring in with it. Just text it to 84850 or WhatsApp 0345 60 60 973. If you were to try to knit all of those things together, it would surely be a good thing. Also, genuinely illegal migration, people who are not here with valid asylum claims and valid refugee status. Unfortunately, we're living in a country at the moment where many deeply unpleasant people are desperately trying to conflate all of those issues, to the point where essentially anybody who might be considered a bit foreign-looking is adjudged to be a criminal, either in full flight or waiting to happen. I don't know, and I didn't know whether I was going to talk about it or not, actually, but I don't know if you saw some of the responses to Rishi Sunak at the weekend, simply posting Happy Yorkshire Day to people and reminding them on social media that Yorkshire is his home. You know when something hideous has happened, because for those of us who no longer go on Elon Musk's platform, some stories break out of it onto other places because of the sort of second-hand reporting of it. And some of the responses to that, I mean, at risk of giving them too much oxygen, people telling Rishi Sunak that he had no business claiming to be from Yorkshire or even from the United Kingdom, they do rather seem to be receiving more coverage and volume at the moment, don't they, those kind of views. And to make me feel very sorry for Rishi Sunak, I mean, to the point of feeling that you'd almost want to put an arm around the guy if he was seeing some of the bile that was being directed at him, political differences aside, is a mark of where we are. And it's important not to let those people, not to let those voices put you off something that would be a good idea for a variety of reasons, if, you know, one of the reasons being given is to assuage that kind of feeling, that kind of thinking. That the massive difference between being a huge racist or even a small racist and having hopes that illegal migration can be properly addressed seems to be a difference that many, many people in my